The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun, you know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon. But I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn.
And my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Sky rockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight. Whoop! Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. A beautiful day in Foxborough, Massachusetts. Andy's here. Paul's here. Kevin's here. Eric's not. Is Eric taking a day off?
Yeah, Eric is heading to Newark. He has to get himself prepared mentally. You know that.
Oh, that's right. He's out going to do a story on the McCourties.
Yes. I'm not sure exactly when they were leaving.
Yeah, I'm not
this
sure
afternoon
that,
on the train.
I'm not sure if that was in the budget. I might have to bill him for that. So,
what's it? The run? Sickle cell run?
Yeah, the thing that he came on our show and talked about.
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's this weekend, right?
I believe so.
I saw he was promoting it on Twitter, Jersey and stuff, if you donated a certain amount. Now he's buying votes, essentially, for his team.
Yeah. Yeah, he's sucking up big time, which is good.
Along those lines, Fred, I know you don't like to speak before you set the table, but your idol, Mike Florio, your favorite site, did you see the big story about the NFL Network cutting back on all their traveling employees' expenses? They now have hard caps on what you can eat for lunch, dinner, what you'll be reimbursed for if you don't turn the receipts in. Must have receipts for everything. If you don't turn the receipts in within 3 months or something, you will not be paid back no matter what.
This is for the network?
NFL Network.
And they were already sort of notoriously,
cheap?
Don't want to say cheap, but low paying.
Well, I heard that,
right?
I heard, though, that for the Jets game, was it here, the Thursday night game. We playing the Jets Thursday night?
Yes, the home opener is Thursday night.
The NFL Network has reserved like 63 rooms at the hotel here at the stadium. So
maybe they shouldn't have 63 rooms worth of people traveling, and
right,
they wouldn't have any worries about what you ate for dinner.
Right.
Or stay at a cheaper hotel.
Because I know a lot of the other networks use local talent, you know,
yeah,
for behind
yeah
the camera
yep
type stuff.
Now,
yep,
I don't know if that's because I assume that's the NFL Network debut, right? Season,
because yeah
week two will be the first one for NFL Network, because the first Thursday night is on NBC.
Right. Right. Correct.
So maybe they do a bigger production for the opener.
Florio was kind of painting it, though, as, you know, I guess they just got valued at $5 billion or something, the NFL Network.
The network.
As an entity. And he kind of, that they were busting the balls of the people that are, you know, out trudging day to day
doing
the work.
Well, you know, that's you know, same thing's happening at ESPN. They laid off like 400 right. people at ESPN. And meanwhile, ESPN represents 60% of the revenue for Disney.
Right.
It's not like they're not making money.
They just laid off a bunch of people at ESPN.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds. People. Hundreds. And yet if
represent 5% of their workforce.
And yet if any player retired today, he'd be signed immediately to ESPN. Whether they had a job for him or not, they'd sign him.
So right. who got laid off?
Lower levels.
A lot of editors
yeah. and stuff. Yeah.
The little man, it's as usual. You know, they don't fire Teddy Bruschi. They don't fire Michael Smith.
You know, and there's all these speculation as to why.
It's kind of harsh and
some
specific.
People say, some people say they're building this new digital complex and they had to free up money for that. Other people are saying that Disney's just putting the screws to them and, you know.
Interesting. I hadn't heard. I don't know how I missed that. All three, even Kevin in the booth was sort of shaking his head
at me.
What's
a digital complex?
They're building a whole new building there. I don't know, to house something digital.
Going to put a server in it. It's going to be Charles Barkley. That's what I was like. Charles Barkley's going to be having a server in there.
Yeah, I don't know.
He didn't really answer my question. It's going to be a building.
Digital.
Something to do digital.
You know, so that's a lot of people.
But I think the limit was like $15 for breakfast, $20 for lunch, and $40 for dinner.
Yeah,
were the limits on their food expenses, which I thought that eliminates a lot of whatchamacallit in Indy, St. Elmo's.
Well, for those
you can't
guys,
go to St. Elmo's
for those guys.
Does it carry over? Like if you have a $5 lunch and breakfast, can you use that
money
for
No, because it's
dinner?
Not a per diem.
Right.
If it were a per diem, then they'd give you that total.
Right.
And you okay, you go light you a couple days, and then you can go to St. Elmo's. This is reimbursable limits.
I mean, I know that those guys probably generally like to eat at an Elmo's-like place everywhere they go for dinner.
Right.
You know, I think most people, you know, most everyday people, you know, like the three of us, that would be fine.
Oh yeah,
if he gave us that,
I could totally survive on that.
Well, but on the one time, you know, you could still go to Elmo's. Okay, so you got to put in 100 yourself, and you know, in addition to the 40.
Wait, what?
No, I mean, you don't do that every night. I know those guys. I'm saying a lot of those network.
I wouldn't go to
big wigs,
St. Elmo's.
You wouldn't do it once.
No, if we went to the combine and Fred said, "I'm giving you $40 and you can't reimburse for St. Elmo's,"
you would never go to St. Elmo's.
I'm as cheap as they come.
See, I would.
It's not worth it to me.
I would. And
it's
not,
good. It's an experience.
I'm
but
not saying specifically Elmo's.
I can go to
I'm
East
saying
Coast subs for $8.95.
Once a year, I wouldn't mind if we were going out. I would go to a nice place. It doesn't have to be St. Elmo's in Indy every time. And wherever we would happen to be,
I'd save my $100 and go out with my wife when I get home.
Speaking of cheap, going on 3 years now, you've owed me that lunch.
Yeah. Speaking of lunch, when are we getting that?
That's a good point.
That's good
segue.
Yeah, especially after that late night last night, Freddie, with the Bruins. You know, I need some food.
Congratulations. Up 3-0. Looks like they are on their way to the Stanley Cup Finals.
I mean, who blows a 3-0 lead? Oh, the Bruins.
The Yankees.
No, I know, but more recently, the Bruins.
All right, so what do we got? OTA is over for all intents and purposes.
OVA?
Next week is a 3-day minicamp of which we have full access to.
Mandatory. So that means one more person could be here.
Yeah. And we should also point out that the OTAs for the players are still ongoing. They practice today and tomorrow.
Right.
But for us,
we don't have access to it.
Session 9 and 10 will be today and tomorrow. And then we'll have the mandatory minicamp next week.
Yep. And then that's it.
Spikes Watch 2013.
Yeah, and we will have access all 3 days.
Yes.
You say yes?
All accounts are. I mean, all reports are.
Based on the reports, I would say
I don't know why. He might get a little nicked up, Paul. He might be around 89 other people. He might step on a toenail.
You're not going to try to portray this as that's what I think he's
doing. Well, you think he's doing the right thing. He stayed away so he doesn't get hurt.
That's colossally wrong, but that's typical you. That's why you fail on online tests.
I did. I failed a course, Ted. Fred.
You failed the HR course?
One of them. The
I failed one too. So
performance.
That's improval, the company you keep.
Performance improval plan versus disciplinary plan.
Yeah,
or
I
whatever.
Failed that one too because you actually have to pay attention.
And I actually don't agree with it. And the flaw with these courses is they make you take it again. It's the same questions again. I actually got one wrong the second time because I don't agree with the answer they say is
they're
right.
They're not trying to trick you. They're just trying to educate you and make sure.
Well, they broke
know
their
the
own
info.
Rule in one of them.
It's
they said if it affects company production. That it should be a disciplinary thing, not a performance thing, and they didn't do that on one of them. So I'm calling BS on one of the ones I got wrong.
Okay, just so people know, here employees here have to take these online tests now.
These little slideshows and quizzes.
Yeah. and Andy failed.
But I went back and fixed it, so now I'm completely up to date.
Did you get your certificate?
Yes, I'm certified. I'm ready. Right. I'm ready to interview somebody. I can't ask you how old you are. I can't ask
this
your religion.
It's all because of legal stuff, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all legal stuff. It's ridiculous.
Can't ask you this. Everybody, can't ask you that.
Everybody's suing everybody these
what
days.
What is FMLA? Family Medical Leave Act or whatever?
I have no idea.
Because one of the things...
You flunked that one, too,
seriously,
huh?
Seriously, do you pay attention to any...
You are
You actually are a manager. You actually interview people. And it says one of your first considerations is this person a member of a certain group, you know, disabilities or FMLA. It just says FMLA. And they keep saying FMLA. And I assume it means Family Medical Leave Act.
But they never, they never.
No, not the first time they say it and then they FMLA it the rest. It's just FMLA from day one.
Yeah, Andy's not management material.
I think it's the Female Men's League of America.
And Eric's in it?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you just broke some HR rule.
Oh, okay.
Oh, is that? Oh, okay. All right.
I'm going to need to escalate this to a supervisor. This may result in a disciplinary action.
I'm wondering if we did something that, you know, was against the rules HR-wise, but we did it on this show, would we be able to make that case and be exempt?
That we're not technically...
You could make the case. I'm not sure you'd be exempt from discipline. Oh. I mean, we are currently working as employees of Kraft Sports Productions.
I know, but we're on a show. This is a show.
That doesn't give you carte blanche to do whatever you want.
No, well, where does it end, though?
What do you mean?
Like, what you know, like, what if we were doing something else? Freelance.
Like
Oh, that's different. I'm not necessarily specifically appearing, but right now I'm working. It's
like,
Monday to Friday, 9 to 5.
This to me is not a gray
area. It's at Gillette Stadium.
We're on Patriots.com right now.
No,
but this is not a gray area. I agree.
We bust balls all the time. So,
right.
Like, if the league of people with big heads, you know, took offense to what we're saying, could I get in trouble?
No. I mean, you could, but that's the other thing you learn of the discipline thing. There's an oral warning. There's a written warning. There's a final written warning.
I'd like to get an oral warning.
No, I'm pretty sure you're going to get in trouble for that, too.
From Eric?
And now you're going to get in trouble.
I got a million of them just at the tip of my tongue, but I just can't go. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we should probably move on.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
If you're skipping the news of the day.
Another programming note.
Akeem Shavers.
Yeah, they released the running back.
Running back.
Another programming note.
But he was
note.
A Shaver.
We haven't
cut.
Announced it yet,
he
but
needs
soon.
A septic pencil.
We've already got it set up. We just haven't made it public. We're going to have an 800 number, and it's going to work for our international callers.
Nice.
So
it's 1-800-CALL-ANDY.
Okay. No, it isn't. But we will have an 800. So
it's an extra number.
Those of you across the pond or across the Pacific can call in. It's so more incentive to listen live.
So it's totally free for them?
It's a toll-free number.
I didn't know if toll-free meant international. I don't know how that
well,
works.
Well, you have to set it up specifically. But
so we have an international
toll-free number.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Chiba? What was his name in Chiba that we haven't heard from in a while?
Jason.
Jason and Chiba?
Yeah.
Get on the horn.
Yeah.
So someone in Africa, please call.
We'll get that going. But
Jacob and Jacob?
We had a question, and again, we always have a listener out there who is an expert in whatever subject we're talking about. Why is it necessary, or is it necessary for a station like us or anyone domestically to still have a toll-free number? You see it all the time.
Because some people still have paid long-distance calls.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay.
My mother does.
Does she?
Yeah.
Well, she still has a rotary dial, right?
You're not too far from it.
Yeah.
But most people do not. Most people, A, you have a cell phone, or B, even I have Comcast.
Christian, what type of phone does Andy's mom
Shut
have?
Shut up.
Okay.
yeah, I don't know
I think
anybody
with Comcast
who doesn't
triple
have phone
play,
service now.
You automatically, yeah. It's included.
Yeah, you
I don't
pay.
Know what, my mother lives in sort of a rural area. They have bad, like, she has bad cable, bad
She picks
everything.
Up the phone and immediately talking to the operator. And
no,
the
but
operator
she's in,
connects her.
In her yeah. town, it wasn't too long ago, you could just dial the four numbers and it would go to the...
Really?
Because it was an in-town...
The South Coast?
Yes, yeah, South Coast.
Yeah.
But I'd never heard of that. And literally within, you know, maybe 12 years ago, it seemed not long ago, you could dial just four numbers. You know, not far removed from just calling the... Can you get Ted on the line? 600? Like,
I like that.
They're behind the times a little.
Bensonhurst, 397?
Yeah,
you should just say the town or whatever the area.
So, but there are people that still have to pay for their
reference right there.
Well, we'll have an 800 number
for everybody.
For everybody.
Wow, lines are going to be stacked.
Yeah.
Or not.
But then what I have to do is Kevin has to remember to turn off the answering machine when the show's over, so that the answering machine doesn't pick up when we're not doing a show, because we would get charged for that.
What answering machine?
We have an answering machine here. What's a service, right?
We have an answering machine?
Yeah, it's not really an answering machine. What it does is when a caller calls in when we're not on the air, it's Rob Schuler's voice saying, you know, thanks for calling Patriots.com radio. We're not currently live. Tune into our next show at such and such time.
So you want to shut that off?
Yeah.
Because then...
I would get charged for that.
Yeah, that we would get charged every time somebody called and the auto attendant picked up the phone.
So it's just going to ring.
Yeah, right. It'll just ring and ring and ring and ring.
Okay.
For now, anyway.
When are we announcing the number?
I don't know, Kevin. When is it? Have we tested it yet? Do we know if it works?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because here's the thing. From the email Ferreira sent out the other day, the international thing wasn't turned on yet. So what good is it if the international guys?
The people
can't
we
use
really
it?
Want
exactly,
to use it.
Exactly.
So when's it going to be turned on?
Well, that's up to the phone people that work in the stadium. They have to hook up. There's a special thing that you have to hook up to get international calling on a stadium phone. Like, if you tried to call London,
I'll find out.
You know what I mean? If you tried,
no, but
to
we
call,
want to take calls, not send them.
Right.
Yeah, but either way, like if you tried to call London or receive a call from London, I think at your desk phone you would have a problem because we've tried to do international interviews before, in the radio studio for soccer, and then when you know the UK Pats guys,
that
and the other thing,
and there's issues.
We've had issues before.
I just really want to know what the words are, what the seven letters.
Well, Fred and
spell
I were really trying to figure out.
PFW talk.
Domestically, how many people, like what kind of percentage of people would still like itemize their phone bill, like still have long distance service as opposed to just a phone service?
Oh, it's small. That's what I mean. My mother's one of them, but it's got to be single percentages, 5% or something. But there's still some, and some of our type listeners might be in that group. You know, some of the older people in Florida that read the paper and, you know, on a fixed income. May choose to be in that demographic.
Yep. So
I just want to know when are you going to tell me what the words are? PFW talk? 1-800-PFW? Is it 800?
It's 855, I think.
855?
I think it's 855, like 500 Pats or something like that.
I think it's 855 Pats 500.
Pats 500.
I think. I'm not 100% sure. I can't confirm or deny.
That's a good number. Yeah. Pats 500? 855 Pats 500.
That's the record that Eric's predicting, so Pats 500.
It's better than the record you're predicting.
Wait, what did I predict?
Christian says, Andy's mom has one of those phones you need to wind up to use.
I don't get it.
No, that's good stuff right there.
I don't really get it.
So, I don't know. Just the mere fact he knows what kind of phone.
Oh, the one on the wall, the old one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. ESPN is doing a list of the greatest coaches ever in the NFL.
And Fred is not happy.
They got to number 7, and they named Bill Belichick. Just behind Tom Landry.
What are you burping? You haven't had anything to drink or eat.
Just behind Tom Landry, who was number 8. I think that's a travesty.
So it's just ahead of Tom Landry then.
Yeah.
If Landry was 8 and Belichick was 7, Belichick would be ahead.
It's a travesty. Belichick, if he should be in the top 3.
No, he shouldn't.
Do we know who 6 is?
No, well,
we don't know 6 through 1.
I don't know if they're doing it every day. But
I'm pretty sure Vince Lombardi, Paul Brown. Who else did I have on there? Chuck Knoll.
And George Halas.
I mean, Paul Brown.
Don Shula.
Bill Belichick.
Paul Brown I have no problem with.
Praise Paul Brown any
right.
more than
he got a lot of what he does from Paul Brown. There's no doubt.
No. Everybody got a lot of everything that everything has done.
If you seriously, and I'm not exaggerating, because a lot of this I learned from Bill. To be quite frank, I had no idea how much innovation Paul Brown was responsible for until we got to know Bill.
And the way
and
Bill talks about
us.
It should be called like Brown Ball. Like he invented it. It's his game.
I mean, it's amazing how many elementary things about football were implemented by Paul Brown. And he won immensely.
I think that may be Bill's biggest, in these grand scheme of things lists, that may be his downfall. What's his innovation?
Belichick?
Yeah. When you're comparing him to be the best of all, what did he innovate?
The manipulation of the injury report.
And I'm being serious.
No, I know you are. It's a good question.
I don't know if a lot like Tom.
Like Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly's offense works. In 30 years, maybe they say, wow, Chip Kelly revolutionized
I actually saw
offense.
Somebody say, like, how great it would be. I think it was on Grantland I read something. It was sort of a satirical column, but it was saying how great it could be to watch these joint practices with Philadelphia and Belichick. Bill being the greatest coach of the last at least 15 years – with perhaps the coach of the next 15 years, if Andy's, you well, that's know, the other thing hypothetical ends Kelly, up being right.
Because Chip Kelly has been very, I'm going to do what I need to do to succeed in the NFL. I'm going to, you know, do right. I'm going to be really disappointed if he comes out and just runs a normal offense. Well, it's like,
I guess so
I think
far
he's going to at first.
Yeah, until he gets it right, gets what he wants. Right. But there was some, I read some stuff. There was a fascinating thing with Michael Vick. I don't know if you saw this, but he talked about going through a ball handling drill.
Oh, and no one ever told him not to fumble, showed him how to.
No, he said he never paid attention because he thought he was doing it right.
Yeah.
4 points of pressure. No one ever paid attention. He didn't pay attention because he thought he was doing it right. Well, didn't the fact that you fumbled all the time tell you that maybe you weren't?
Right. Yeah, I did see that.
Unbelievable.
But that's what I mean. That's not innovative. Just telling a guy something that every high school coach in America is
going over. No, your first point, the offense would be something. If that ends up being, you know, something that is wildly successful and copied, I think Tom Landry you could consider a guy. Tom Landry is a guy who did, like, the 4-3 defense. I mean, something is that's a Paul Brown thing. It's like you think, like, the huddle. No one did it like Paul Brown.
Right.
Until he did it. You know, guys going in and out with plays. You know, like communication, stuff like that. No one did that until Paul Brown. Practice setups and training and stuff, Paul Brown. And again, this is all stuff that Bill Belichick taught us.
Right.
You know, I was not aware of the scope of his imprint on coaching.
If there is stuff that he's innovative about, we don't know about it. Because, you know, obviously he uses the 3-4, but he didn't invent the 3-4. There might be wrinkles that he's added to defensive schemes that we don't know specifically about that may come out at some point. Oh, he was the first to use this position in this way.
But I'm not sure that compares to some of the stuff you're talking about.
No, those things were evident.
Right.
You know, you see it, you know.
Right. I mean, like the trade value chart that everybody gives for Jimmy Johnson, that's something that seems to have legs and that everybody sort of adopted. You know, even the Cowboys before that, the generation before, the Gil Brandt kind of the scouting.
It's kind of the computer age.
Yeah. So, you know, there's different, and I just don't know that there's been a leap here, organizationally or coaching-wise.
Now, it might be
that doesn't discount any of the success.
No, and there might be some subtleties, too, and not necessarily innovations, but you see a lot of teams emulating the way the Patriots sort of do things now. You know, the closed mouth sort of button down approach. You know, I think you're seeing some teams sort of get away from, you know, the big splash. You know, a lot of teams are trying to, you know, look at the Patriots do it. They, you know, they fill their holes with sort of mid-tier guys. But that's not anything necessarily that you can point to and say, well, he invented not talking to the media. Right. You know, that doesn't really work that way.
Like, there might be some ways in which they organize their scouting department that a lot of teams have emulated. I don't know.
And right now, like, you see, you know, with the success of Gronk and
that's
Hernandez.
That's one. Because I don't know what it means exactly, but what's his name in Baltimore? Ozzy says, everything I do scouting-wise is Bill Belichick's. That's what he did in Cleveland. Yeah. That's what I learned.
And that's what I think his
influences
are.
But I don't know what that means exactly.
People that have been around Belichick seem to have taken a lot from Belichick, the way he does things. But I don't know if there's like a
but his
a
coaching
scheme.
Tree hurts that.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the visual coaching tree success. Now, you can say Dimitroff or you can say Pioli, whatever. But in terms of the coaches that left, they all kind of fell on their faces at various levels and stops.
Yep.
But I do think Paul Brown probably should be number one. I think Vince Lombardi is going to be in the top
overrated.
Six. Yeah. That may be.
Shula.
Oh, and Noel. Those four.
And Noel.
So you only have two open spots.
What about
there.
George Halas?
Maybe. Although Bill, his guy is Clark Shaughnessy. He's like, Shaughnessy is right behind Paul Brown for him. And he was a Bears guy. I don't know exactly when they came. And I think Shaughnessy was after Halas.
Like, I think Bill tends to gravitate to the guys that he thinks, like, did things differently. Like, game plan, you know, innovation, stuff like. Whereas I think he looks at a guy like, I'm sure he has tremendous respect for all the guys that have won. You know, it's not easy to win games. So, you know, you say Vince Lombardi overrated. I think he probably looks at him and says, well, he's obviously tremendously successful, but he had one thing that he did, and his discipline, he just drilled it over and over and over, and he had the best players. You know, and that's probably the way he looks at that.
Yep.
And I'm not sure that that's entirely fair. Yeah, I don't know.
It's also kind of a questionable. Did you see the list of guys that are put at the panel.
Bill Polian.
I mean, it's all modern guys who very much could
Polian's
have bias.
Not really modern.
No. But he is. These are his contemporaries, and so he may have a bias. Teddy Bruschi has a clear bias. Mike Golic has a bias. You know, there are. I think Easterbrook was on there. It's all.
Oh, I lost a lot of respect. It's I mean, all, not because
and there's a
of
ton of them.
But just, I thought there was like a.
No, it's a ton of ESPN employees,
ESPN analysts, and people.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought ESPN has gone about putting this together, not necessarily their employees.
Yeah, it's kind
of
their.
There's no difference between the three of us doing it. I mean, no disrespect intended to anybody.
Okay, so who are the top six? Are those four that we just talked about in the top six?
I think so.
So who are the other two? I mean, Air Coryell, is he in the mix?
No.
Okay, let's go over it again. So you got
Bill Walsh.
Well,
I forgot about
him. Didn't say Bill Walsh.
Yeah,
he's a lock too. He couldn't be any higher. Who should? Do you think he should be ahead of any of the five we just named?
I think he should be ahead of Walsh. I think he should be ahead.
Wait a minute.
Bill Walsh?
You can't possibly think he should be ahead
I
of
do.
Bill Walsh.
I think he should be ahead of Noel.
Pretty much every team in football uses
rings,
Bill Walsh's offense.
I think something has to be given to modern-day coach. I think it's harder to be an NFL head coach today than it ever was. Not just but any of them, because you have to deal with so much other stuff besides coaching football. I really do. You know,
what do you mean?
And I know you shouldn't add to the – you know, a guy who's also the GM shouldn't get extra credit, you know, because – well, that's too bad.
Well, I think it's part of it. I think he should.
But it shouldn't really affect how you judge him as a coach. You know, just because maybe Vince Lombardi wasn't the general manager, it shouldn't detract from his coaching ability. You know, and it shouldn't.
Wait, so Mike Tomlin should be on the same page as Bill Belichick?
Only as a if you can compare him as a coach, sure.
Yeah, see, I give more points to the guys that acquire
talent. Well, if I'm an owner, I'm going to hire Belichick because of all that other organizational skills. But if you're just judging who's the best coaches, I think you have to
But all the great coaches were in personnel.
You can't look at the GM part.
Most of the great coaches had personnel pull.
Oh, they had it. Yeah, absolutely.
Even if they weren't distinctly the general manager, they were. They were picking the talent, or they were.
Right. Yeah.
So,
I think the modern day coach. Don't you think the modern day coach has to deal with more than a guy from the 50s?
Like what?
Oh, maybe the 50s, but not like the 70s.
But where are you going?
Or 60s?
You're talking about legal issues. You're talking about media.
I'm talking about everything.
Yeah, see, I don't.
Not necessarily.
Collective bargaining agreement. I'm talking about free agency.
It's different. I think that makes it easier.
I'm talking about the fact that it's 365 days a year. I'm talking about.
Yeah, but he has less players.
I think that makes it easier.
And he has more staff, and he has more scouts, and he has more this, and he has more that.
The fact that you have to manage.
The fact that you don't have to go to training camp for 8 weeks to get ready for a season and get your players in shape.
Yeah,
you think that was easier?
You have a strength staff.
Than having OTAs all in strength and nutrition
programs? I absolutely think that you're the manager of a corporation. Now, back then, you were the coach of.
So basically, all you're talking about is talking to the media, because all the other things, football-wise, are easier now.
Medical issues are just HIPAA and just
Medical issues. So now that a guy can tear his ACL and be back in 6 months is worse than a guy who had routine knee surgery and was done for life.
I just think it's
like
so much more complicated.
I think it's very different, but I think it's a wash. I think it's
extremely
just is what it is.
Extremely different, but not harder.
I think it's harder. We'll have to ask Bill Belichick about
you
that.
You really will do everything to just promote Bill as the
best ever. I was stunned about the Bill Walsh thing.
Like you can't say.
I said all these coaches should get more credit.
I don't see how you can have an argument against Bill Walsh. I really don't.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, so Tom Coughlin, who was on this list, by the way, I believe he was like 17, or mid-teens. I don't know. I struggle with that giving a bonus because you're in the modern era. I don't really agree with that at all.
No. So you don't think he should be in the list?
No. I'm just what you think of Coughlin is what you think of him as a coach.
He was 15?
Yeah, ish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to parse every single guy, but Tom Coughlin
seemed
certainly worthy of being.
I'll be honest,
one
it seemed a little
coaches.
Modern heavy to me. I believe Dungy was 20. Coughlin was in.
See, I disagree with that completely. Now, I don't know the other guys.
Fred,
but
you're not very.
I don't
fair.
Think Dungy was that great a coach.
But you're not very fair. I mean, how can you say that? Like, based on his results, he built two Super Bowl champions.
What?
I don't think you're being very fair. That's
and,
all.
And, you know,
you're eliminating all the guys who didn't do it now, and then all the guys that did it now. You think we're
it's
overrated?
It's just my impression. I don't think Dungy was that great a coach.
But I think Andy's right. I think it's just okay, we all think Belichick is a great coach and very much worthy of being where he is, but you don't think anybody else should even be mentioned in the same breath.
No. I think Paul Brown, definitely. I think,
but he didn't do it in the modern era, so he loses
points. That's true. He only, changed the game entirely, but he didn't coach in the 2000s, so get rid of him.
I think Paul Brown laid the groundwork for the modern era.
No, but he didn't have to deal with it. So.
No, but he,
block mark.
A lot of the stuff he did has been adopted since then.
I actually think it's also interesting because you have to compare. I think Belichick benefits from his personality of staying here for a long time. And Chuck Knoll, same. I mean, there were guys but there's other guys that you may have considered greater coaches who walked away. You know, Tony Dungy is an example. He had his quarterback, he had his team, he had a working relationship with the GM. Who knows what would have happened in Indy had they? You know what I mean? The butterfly effect there. So yes, Belichick has a lot of wins.
He might have five more 12-win seasons,
right,
and maybe even a Super Bowl.
Right. So. And I'm not faulting guys who walked away, and I'm not.
And I'm not saying that. By the way, before anybody gets mad, Tony Dungy at 20. Or in that area, I have no problem with. If you want to put Tony Dungy in the top 10, that's ridiculous. Now I'm with Fred.
Mark writes in. He says he just checked out ESPN.com. They put Paul Brown at number 6.
Yeah, I don't. That's terrible.
And he says, did you mention Mike Ditka?
Yeah, no, hey, I'll be with Fred on this one, too. Mike Ditka does not belong with the best coaches of all time.
He got at least one vote because he's on the panel.
For himself?
No, I don't know. I'm assuming.
I'll be with you on that one, Fred, with Mike Ditka. He doesn't belong
Paul
anywhere
Brown
near
at number
that,
six.
That kind of a list.
Bill wouldn't like that.
No.
Bill would be very upset with that.
And that's the only reason why you're advocating Paul Brown is because you know how much Bill has affection for him.
From what we've been educated about, I guess.
The way this list is modern, I'm guessing Bill Walsh has a good chance to be number one.
Yeah.
But I don't have any problem with Bill Walsh being a top three coach.
Really either.
All time.
But with Brown at six, I kind of.
My guess is Shula is going to be number one, and I will have a problem with that.
Because he has the most wins.
Yeah. And I will have a problem with that.
Well, it's not just the most wins, right?
No, but why would he be number one?
He took two teams to Super Bowls, one Super Bowl. You know, like, there's reasoning there.
He was a great coach. I don't think he was better than a lot of these.
No, and that's fine. But
this is the greatest.
It's not
of the
just
great.
The wins. I mean, Bill Belichick.
Well, he was
only
considered
has,
a guy who couldn't win the big one.
But Bill Belichick only took one team to a Super Bowl, right? Don Shula can say, "I took two teams to a Super Bowl." You know, there's a certain
one of which
value
lost
there.
As a 20-point favorite.
No, I know. Well, but Bill Belichick has lost Super Bowls as a heavy favorite.
Not like that. There'll never be an
14.
Upset like that.
Yeah. That Giants loss
close.
Was the first one.
Yeah, it was pretty.
But it wasn't against a team that wasn't even in
no,
their
you're
league.
Right. You're right.
It,
no, but that
Jets-Colts like game was the big upset. That was the big one.
I just think people.
I think Shula's overrated. But he's still worthy of being a top three all time. I mean, when there's just, there's degrees of overrated. I mean, I think Tony Tony Dungy, you're saying is overrated. If he was in the top five, I would say that's ridiculous. But at 20 or 25, whatever.
I think the players love them, and I think that's part of being coach. A good coach is having your players love you. But I think he gets too much credit.
I think it's a little swayed to the modern. If Tony Dungy's a top 20 coach, now I don't know it well enough, but
I don't know all.
There's
got to
be other guys.
I mean, I'll tell you guys that I'm guessing weren't
clearly
on these lists.
Clearly, it's swayed to Super Bowls too.
But you mentioned Don Coryell earlier, and I'm sure that he's not on these. Not in the top 20. And he was a great football coach. Marty Schottenheimer, I'm sure, is not in the top 20. He was a great football coach.
That's the ring.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. It's like people don't look at all the different things.
Right.
But it's that's the beauty of these lists. And I know a lot of people complain about lists. We have lists for everything. That's what I love about it. It's totally subjective.
And that's why
it's
they're
totally
created.
Opinion.
They
and,
want
and
us it, to do this
and
right
it creates
now.
Debate.
Right.
That's... And Fred can look at Bill Walsh and say he wasn't very good. And most people would say that he was one of the greatest coaches of all time, and every single team in the NFL uses a portion of his offense.
We know Fred looks at things in his own view. I mean,
his prism.
The prism of
Kirsch.
You were thrown just as hard to me as you were to Andy. Except everybody who's watched the video on Facebook of the PFW 2013 Baseball Challenge says
figured,
no.
I figured it out. Andy is still trying to
relive his youth. Yeah.
Well, not just relive his youth, but still live down the fact that I beat him in three sports. So this is like, okay.
And
I
just
was better
figured
than
out,
Fred in this.
And so, I just figured out why Fred has been so upset
now.
About your streak got snapped.
That's right.
That's why you're so upset
Andy
about
was
this.
Slightly, and by the way, I watched the video this morning. You didn't look much better than I did, fathead.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
I can't wait till you.
So you're 1-3.
He did swing a lot better than you did.
He did.
He did look a lot better than you did.
Did you watch the video?
One. I did watch the video, and I also lived it. And I also know how hard I was throwing to him and how hard I was throwing to you.
Not much.
If I lobbed him in the way I threw it to you and Kevin, he would have hit him a lot more.
Ba-dum-bum-bum. And it's not really fair, by the way, that you're... Even if I were upset...
37 years ago.
I hit him in the knee, like, and he still kept it.
Now, I should say, okay, well, I hit the ball the furthest, the most frequent, and something else, and I beat you in three sports, so now we're even 3-3.
You idiot. You would do that.
That's what you would do.
I actually fouled off the ball.
You're actually up 2-1. You beat me in tennis and basketball. I beat you in baseball. You're up, and I beat you in push-ups, so it's 2-2.
No, what else did you beat him in?
You cheated in push-ups.
I didn't cheat at push-ups. Oh, I doubled you up.
He beat you in basketball, too.
Yeah,
basketball,
tennis.
And what else?
Basketball and tennis.
And what else?
He counts basketball three times.
No, three. It was three.
The game of life.
He just turned into, what's his name? The a-hole from the Seahawks. I'm better at life than you. The cornerback.
That Richard Sherman.
Went on with a Skip Bayless, and I beat you in life. I'm better at life than you.
Wasn't there three sports, though? What was the third sport you beat him in?
No, his three is horse. One-on-one horse.
No.
And yes.
Really?
Yes.
Horse?
You didn't know he's been counting this for years?
Oh, Fred, I thought there was a third sport somewhere.
It's actually 2-2 right now.
Well, I'll play in golf.
I got no chance.
What else do you want? What other sport do you want to go?
Any sport you want?
How about wrestling?
No. That's good.
I want to see you guys wrestle.
I can't say that.
Really?
Wrestling.
You wouldn't wrestle another man because you're afraid of... You're that homophobic?
No. A, I think you'd beat me.
That just proves it.
Wait a minute. I've never wrestled a day in my life. Except gym class, that one time where they let you like it's one of the classes they run.
Right.
I've never wrestled. All I know is you do like the elbow and the this or something. You put your hand on an elbow. Don't you start like that?
Well, you start on the ground like that, right.
And like one arm around.
One under the waist and one
like
on his
the ambiguously gay duo.
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, and then realize what I just said.
It's unbelievable how it's
always
on
his mind.
Yeah.
And I'm not going anywhere near you if you wear a singlet.
you need to stop.
Because it'll be a thong.
Eric has nothing on you. You are the most in the closet male I've ever seen.
Although I don't have
life.
A website that shows a closet door opening.
It's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable that he did that.
All right, web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
So Paul Brown, number
six,
huh?
Hotline.
Bill's not going to be happy with that.
No.
Unfortunately, he...
Another reason to hate ESPN.
And who's the...
Unfortunately, he will not talk to us about that.
Who's the sixth? I'm pretty sure we've picked the five that are ahead of Bill. But we didn't have
a sixth.
So
what do we have? We have Shula.
Shula, Walsh.
Walsh.
Noel. Brown.
Lombardi. And Halas.
That's five. You think Halas would be one?
Well, he's not in the top 20.
Yeah, he'll probably be one.
You know, he hasn't been picked yet.
See, I couldn't tell you how good of a coach he is.
I don't know either.
I really don't know either, you know?
Now, so if you don't give guys credit for being general managers, you don't really give them credit for, like...
Being an owner?
Starting the organization from scratch.
Paul Brown?
Yeah.
George Halas?
Paul Brown twice. You know, the Browns and the Bengals.
Right.
Like... You don't. So there's no value in that. Well, you're going strictly by coaching, winning.
I don't think ESPN is. I think they're saying, how was he as a coach? I don't think.
I'd like to know how they did this, as with all lists. Yeah. Did they sit in a big room with all these guys and yell at each other until they fixed the list? Did they just write it down?
NFL's most influential people. Then now you're talking all the other stuff that Paul Brown did or Robert Kraft or Pete Rozelle, you know.
But, like, what is the criteria?
I don't know.
Like, in your own mind, though, what would the perfect criteria be? Are you saying, if I give this group of people to this guy, he's going to get the most out of them? Is that the criteria?
Yes. Yes.
That's interesting.
I think it should be. You know, because different guys had different roles within their organizations, and to give a guy credit...
I don't think Bill would win.
You don't?
No.
No?
I think Bill needs to pick the guys that he knows the types of guys he needs to win. I don't think Bill would win. Bill just fell 20 spots on my list, if that's the criteria.
Robert says, where does a coach like Marv Levy figure into the best coach category?
There's another one I would put with my Schottenheimer and Coriel. Oh, now, sure. He would be higher
Do
than
you have
them
the
because
list
he got
up?
To four Super Bowls.
I don't. Let me see if I can get it.
Can you get it up?
Yep.
Levy would be higher than those other guys because he got to the Super Bowls, obviously.
Yeah, I watched, by the way, as an aside, while Fred clicks around, I saw the bulk of the Elway to Marino thing the other night. Yeah, very good. Found it very entertaining what an a-hole Jim Kelly was. Like, why did I sign with the USFL? I could talk for 4 hours, but I'll just boil it down. Would you rather live in Buffalo or Houston?
Yeah.
And
now he lives in Buffalo. Right, he still lives in Buffalo. He loves it so
much. I know.
So
he's like the man of Buffalo. And it's so funny when you look back at
it. I have
things.
The list if you're interested.
All those guys, I thought that the interviews they showed of those quarterbacks at the time all came off like kid. I mean, it's amazing how polished you become when you do that
and
for a long time.
People made fun of Mark McGwire. John Elway started the "I'm not here to talk about the past; it's about moving forward." Like that's almost
you
exactly
see some
how
of his like
it.
Facial expressions when he's in the background at some of those press conferences.
I think Elway's an a-hole.
He definitely had it in him.
Sorry, Fred, but I think Elway might be.
I think
an a-hole.
He was spoiled.
He's just an all-around
he was
a-hole.
Spoiled, like, rotten.
Yeah,
no question about that.
Oh yeah,
original course.
Number 20 was Dungy. Number 19 was Mike Shanahan. 18, Sid Gilman. 17, Marv Levy, so he is on the list.
Shanahan's overrated.
Oh, yeah.
What's he ever done?
16 is Hank Stram. 15 is Bud Grant. Forget about him.
Good pick.
Yep. Yeah. 14 was Coughlin. 13, Jimmy Johnson. 12, John Madden. Overrated.
No, he's not.
His winning percentage is like 8 gazillion.
Like the best ever.
Number 11, Bill Parcells. Number 10, Curly Lambeau. Number 9, Joe Gibbs. Number 8,
he's overrated.
Number 8, Tom Landry. Number 7, Belichick. Number 6 was Paul Brown.
I just happen to think Joe Gibbs was overrated.
What about the guy from
two of his titles were in strike years?
I just feel like there's got to be names missing that should be in the mix. What's Weebe Eubanks?
Oh, with the Jets?
I don't know.
Is he any good?
Love him because when he would one, he was with the Jets. He wasn't that.
I'm just trying to think of like guys who have fields or halls or whatever named after them and why they do. Like,
yeah, I mean, I get your reasoning. I don't know what the answer is though. I don't know how good a coach he was.
George Allen.
George Allen was probably in the. Did they have this list go further than 20?
No, I think they just started.
No, it's just 20. Yep.
Yeah, George Allen probably should be over Mike Shanahan.
Yeah. Maybe Shanahan, you know, moving forward, if he, you know,
I'd
creates something here with RG3.
Over Shanahan. The problem is Shanahan has two rings.
Yeah.
Right. Clearly they're weighted towards the ring, although did Bud Grant win a ring?
No.
No.
He lost.
But he went to.
He lost times. 4 times.
Yeah.
So you said Levy was in there.
Levy's in
so
there.
So if you go 4 times and lose, you can make the list.
Right. Hank Stram only had one, you know. Was he that great a coach?
He was a pretty good coach. He was good with Kansas City.
Right.
Now, he went to New Orleans after that and didn't do anything there, but neither did anybody else.
Well, plus, Belichick didn't do anything.
You really like Madden?
Yeah.
Madden's record is, unbelievable.
Yeah.
You can't dispute him.
Madden won, 100 games in, 10 years.
Yeah, it was quick. Boom. See? Boom. See what I did there?
Right. Madden was a pretty good coach.
And I don't mean to pour salt on a wound here, but Belichick only has himself to blame. Had he won the last two Super Bowls, this list would be a little bit different.
Well, I guess that was
Tom Coughlin wouldn't be on it at all.
That's the number one thing.
And
everybody
Belichick,
says the Giants are the ones that have him at 7. The Giants are responsible for having him at 7.
Well, those two games single-handedly put Coughlin on the list and kept Belichick lower.
You can't argue with that.
So,
yeah,
you know, it is what it is.
All right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a couple emails, shall we, since no one's calling today.
That's because they don't know
the
1-800 number.
They're waiting for the toll-free
number. Right, they're not screw it, I'm not paying money, I'll wait a day.
We don't know yet, but we should probably let everybody know that next week when there's minicamp, Tuesday and Thursday will be two of the days that we have access. We don't know when we're going to have access, so pay attention to start times.
Could
for
be
the
starting.
Show.
Don't
one.
Tweet me at 12 and say what's going on, and then 12:10, it's still not on.
Well, it's really our fault for not promoting
it. Ferreira.
We might have to change the start times.
But what was the deal? Chester wrote 25 emails the other day, and I was like, is that really necessary? Do you need to write 25 emails?
Did
the
we
same
ever get
email?
Back to?
But
maybe
the same
it is.
Email.
But just expect that we might be.
Well, to be fair about the not promoting, I came down here at noon and was all ready to roll.
Fault,
and I had to,
it's not your fault.
It is my
not
fault.
Even the producer knew.
No, I came down here and was ready to roll, and I had to write Fred an email. And then while I was writing Fred the email, I went on the website.
Well, shouldn't we tweet it? Shouldn't we Facebook it?
Yeah, we talked about it the day before, and we should have got it out there that day.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up now, so we don't have
prior planning prevents piss poor performance.
But we just don't know what the schedule is yet. So it's like we couldn't promote it today because we don't know.
There's a good chance we will have an altered schedule. There's a good chance, I would think.
Okay. It won't be the same as what they've been doing. Is that what you're saying?
No, no, no. There's a good chance we won't be 12 to 2. I don't know when we'll be or how it'll be affected, but there's a good chance we won't be 12 to 2.
Okay. Blade writes in, do you think Danny Amendola will be able to take Wes Welker's place and put up big numbers in the next season for the Patriots? Very simple question.
Yes.
Nope.
Very simple answer from me. Yes.
You say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
I have no idea. It's all about being healthy. If he's on the field, he'll be fine to put up big
numbers. If he's healthy, will he do that?
Will he catch 100 balls?
Yeah.
He'll be in the range. He'll be in the range of 85 to 110.
Yeah, I don't know how many passes he'll catch. I think
because you need to remember, we were predicting last year, or at least I was predicting last year, that Aaron Hernandez was going to lead the team in receptions and that Welker was going to be in the 80s.
Yeah.
Now, Aaron Hernandez got hurt, so we never got to see that play out. Now, I tend to think I was going to be right based on what we saw the first few weeks of the phasing out Wes Welker. I think you were going to see Welker below 100 catches last year until Hernandez got hurt.
And I also think, and they'll never admit this if it's even accurate, but I think that they might look at it and say that position takes a lot of physical abuse. This is a guy who's had a hard time staying healthy. Maybe they don't want him to catch 120 passes.
Yeah, but so is the other guy.
No, but what I'm saying
is
they might not give Amendola the chance to catch 120 passes.
But will they give Aaron Hernandez the chance to catch 120 passes?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't think it's necessary that somebody has to catch 120 passes. All that stuff to me, I'm extremely consistent on this. SID stats don't impress me. I don't care who makes the
No, but you know
catch.
What impresses
somebody
you?
Will.
550 points. And
yes.
When they've had a guy catch 100 passes, more often than not, they've been the best offense or one of the best offenses in football.
And I think they will be, even if they don't have a guy who catches 120 passes. That's what I'm saying.
But they've never proven that.
Sure they have.
When?
They've been good offenses consistently.
And they've always had a guy catch 100 passes. That's my point. Like, how are they going to –
Troy before Welker.
He had 1 year that he had 101 catches. They were,
And their offense was never as good as what
it wasn't 550 points.
But that's
points.
What I'm talking
Andy's
about.
Right, but I think that they're fine.
The offense changed in 07. In 07, when they changed.
Right.
And they haven't looked back.
I just don't think the offense is really – even when the offense wasn't what it became in 2007, I wouldn't necessarily characterize the offense as a problem.
No, it was never a problem.
I think it
will be a problem now with this defense. See, I disagree. I think if they drop down to a mediocre offense, now you're a mediocre team because your defense blows.
So you're saying you're going to drop from like 1 to 15 in points scored? That would be a problem.
If you go to what
you
were
mediocre in offense,
if you go to what you were in the early 2000s, I think you'll be in trouble as a football team.
Yes. But I'm looking at more so.
I think if you're not
03, 04 in that area, they'll be fine. 06, 38 points in the 34 points in the AFC Championship game.
Well, I'm not just talking about a single game. I'm talking
about
the full of a season.
For the most part.
And
they scored enough.
If they have a 1,600-yard rusher, then, yeah, they probably will be pretty good. I'm not sure Ridley's a 1,600-yard rusher.
I'm talking about, but, again, you're fixating on the stats themselves. I'm just
you
talking
have
about
to fixate
points.
On something.
Points. I don't think they'll
points
be mediocre
don't come
in
from
offense.
Nowhere. They come from production.
But
somehow you get
is,
in position to score.
But you're saying that, like, if they have a 1,600-yard rusher, they cannot have to have a 120. I don't think you have to have such an extreme high individual to have.
That may be true. We've never seen it.
The fifth-ranked offense.
We've basically never seen it. When they've been good on offense,
now, you're right.
There's been a reason.
I will agree with you. If they slip down to mediocre on offense, like, 12, 13, 15, 17 in points scored, I agree with you. Their defense isn't good enough to let them win the way they won in the middle part of the decade.
Right.
With this, probably, a top 10 offense, not the top one offense that they've had since 07. I agree with Andy on that. They're not good enough defensively to overcome that. But I think they'll be fine. I think they're going to be able to score points just in different ways. Well, a lot of my faith, I will admit, relies on Gronkowski.
Sure.
Gronkowski needs to be out there for, a good portion of the season. If he misses, half the season, then I think you have some issues. He's that good.
Well, that shows up in the stats. I mean, he's a guy who has a touchdown every time he plays, basically.
Mm-hmm. Jay writes in, the Cleveland Browns had 15-minute streaming live look-ins to practice, and it was very well done. Vic Carucci and another reporter anchored it, and I have to say it was very interesting. The setup is tailor-made for you guys. You should take a look at it.
Except we cover the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Yeah. We have done that in the past, by the way. We'll no longer be doing it ever again until Bill Belichick is gone.
We could dominate it. we would be phenomenal.
We did that
happen.
Back at Bryant College, remember?
Yeah.
The joint practice with the Giants.
Yep, we did. Jonathan says, last show you were discussing your baseball outing and you're saying that you need a catcher next time. How about a two-time Super Bowl and league MVP Tom Brady, who was once drafted by the Montreal Expos?
I thought you were volunteering yourself.
And also, Fred, the pool party later this month sounds great. Are all the PFW listeners invited?
Of course.
No.
It's not all that big a pool. Unless
By the way,
hot,
Fred, I can't make the pool party.
Why not?
I'm going to France. Going on vacation.
Fred has a blank look on his face.
Why are you going to France?
For vacation.
By yourself? Eric and I
are going.
Are you going by yourself?
No.
Did you pick it, or is it a family
thing? No money.
No, it's I don't have any money. Friends thing.
I had to pass up.
Why France?
I want to go see Normandy.
And how are you going if you have no money?
Charity.
Charities.
What do you mean charity?
I've been saving my money. I wanted to go on a trip earlier.
Good for you.
Yeah, earlier in the winter, but we had
you going to like Paris?
Yeah, for a little while, then Normandy to see the beaches of Normandy and do all the historical stuff. And
why do I think you're never going to come back?
I don't know. You ever seen that movie Taken? Maybe I could be Taken.
Yes.
You know, because that was
good,
in Paris.
It's a good movie.
I believe.
And your dad would just be like Taken.
Yeah, he'd be like, screw it. You can have him.
Never really cared for him.
But anyway, I was.
So who are these people you're going with?
It's
men
actually,
and women, or just
yeah. There's
a bunch of
women.
Buddies.
There's women.
Women who shave their armpits. Or no?
Is it a travel group like Eric's?
No, 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 no. I have friends, Fred.
Oh
wow!
Now that's a good shot.
He would get really mad if
he would be doing a slow burn as he's chewing his gum into the microphone.
Yeah, we get a lot of emails about that gum.
That's why
it's annoying.
Well, we told him
it's
last
been annoying me for weeks.
Show. Stop it.
I saw a lot of things coming in, especially like late at night. My phone would be going ding, ding.
If you're going to bring nothing to the show and the only thing you do is chew, I mean, that's compounding your inadequacy.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was chewing gum on air. That's just not.
Well, one day I
he's
laughed.
He's supposed to be the seasoned.
He's
you know,
an idiot.
Oh. Well, I laughed because Rook, one day, Rook comes in to do a show. And Eric was just having a bad day, a crummy day. He was really quiet and kind of mopey.
Did he know?
So Rook was calling him. Rook was calling him Eeyore. And
well, Squidward.
And it's gonna hurt more coming from Rook.
So no, so like
kind of like
yeah, because
Rook doesn't beat
you know
on
how
him.
Donkeys yeah. chew. I mean, so kind of saw a little parallel there the other night. But should be
so
a fun
going
trip
to France.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And how long are you going for?
Almost 2 weeks.
How many? How many people are going?
Well, there's some family over there of one of the people I'm going with. So
are you mooching?
A whole bunch. No, I'm not mooching. For a little while, for like 4 days, I'll be mooching.
Men, women?
Women.
You're going with all women?
One woman.
You gonna go to the nude beaches?
I hope so.
Wait, is this your girlfriend?
Yeah. Well, kind of, sort of, maybe.
Oh wow.
If you don't
I
know
why
she's
going
not.
To France, it's a long way to go just to get.
Is this
you know.
One of like Eric's types of girlfriends where you think she's the girlfriend? But she
no, I or at least I hope not, Fred. It's
do you have
early.
A screensaver?
Screensaver.
Well, that's good. Everyone's going on vacation. Except
what do you think
me?
I could get a flight to Palm Springs in like a week and a half? How much do you think that would cost me?
Oh, I don't know, $1 million.
Why do you
I
need to
no
go
idea.
To Palm Springs?
Bachelor party.
You're too old for that.
By the way,
kind of thing.
Speaking
why,
of
that's
flights,
why I declined.
I'd never booked a flight abroad before. Holy smokes. It's expensive.
It's not one of those bachelor parties anyway, though. It's going to be pretty tame.
Golf.
Golf. Nice steak dinner.
Yeah, but you never know when it turns
cigars.
Into something not tame.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I wouldn't have any because I don't smoke cigars. But
you wouldn't smoke
once,
one, though, just with your buddies?
No, I've never had one.
I've never had one.
Oh, you
I don't
love
know
it.
How to smoke a cigar.
You don't have to inhale. You just kind of.
You don't inhale it.
No. Well, I mean.
You get sick if you inhale a cigar.
I'd be afraid
that's probably why
sick.
I cough all
me
the
too.
Time.
I have like anxiety over
I that. Actually, it's one of those stupid things like when you're around and a bunch of guys are smoking cigars. Like, I wish I knew how to smoke a cigar. It looks like fun. But never had one. Never tried it.
Oh, you'd love it. You'd love it.
Yeah, the bachelor party's in Palm Springs at the end of, well, the 22nd. And then in September, the wedding's in Italy. I also declined for that.
Do they think their friends are all loaded?
Yeah, on account of it's the first week
how,
of the season.
What is
well,
that?
No, the Palm Springs, they're all in California.
That's arrogant.
Yeah. It is.
No, my friend is in L.A. I mean, they're all in California.
You could get a
so
relatively
the Palm Springs
cheap
thing
flight,
isn't
Paul.
Necessarily. Like,
you could get a cheap flight.
But Italy, it's the first week of the season anyway, so even if it
plus
was like
it's
in
Italy.
Boston, I couldn't go.
I'm sorry. I don't know anybody on this planet that I'd invest. What's Italy, like $5,000, $6,000, $7,000? I don't even know how much it costs to go to Italy.
No, so my flight.
That's
just
ridiculous.
Just for a round trip from Boston to Paris, like that's pretty much the only way I'm flying. I'm taking trains other places. It was $1,400 round trip just to go to Paris and back.
So minimum, you're talking, you know, $3,000 if two people go to something.
Well, just go to Disney, go to Epcot Center. They have that little faux
game. I've never been. I've never been like anywhere, you know, out of the country other than like Canada, which doesn't even count. So I wanted to go someplace cool. So
I thought Fred was going to say, and you picked France.
Well, it was a joint decision. You know, this
no, it wasn't.
Well,
let's
no,
not
this,
pretend
well,
it was. It wasn't.
She's a French citizen.
It was a unilateral decision. You weren't the uni.
Sure, why not?
She's a French citizen
and an American citizen.
She's got a lot more similarities to Eric as we speak.
So it's fiction.
It's not fiction.
He's comparing you to Eric, so it's fiction.
I'm not saying necessarily fiction. I'm saying there's a catch.
But the thing is, though, I give Eric.
Does Eric know this?
Eric helped me give me some tips on where to go and all that stuff.
You're taking
advice
from Eric.
Does he
know that the woman that you're with is also a French citizen?
I think so. Oh. Yeah, I think I told him that. But we're actually, Fred, we're doing to save some money because the hotels are so ridiculous over there. We're renting a place in Paris for a week. You know how they have like Home Away?
This could turn into Taken.
Yeah, it could. So we actually have an apartment, which is cool because you can cook your own food and do all that stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
And I will kill you.
Watch out. Eric's going to try to steal you, her from
you. Steal you from her.
Well, no, he showed up at my desk.
That was one of them Freudian slips.
No, he showed up at my desk the other day, and I have a little picture of her and I on my desk. And he goes, wow, she's cute.
Really?
And I was like, oh, he's already moving in.
It is going. Like, he has a picture. He's not sure it's his girlfriend, but yet he has a picture.
It's complicated, Paul. You know the story. Andy knows the story.
It's a complicated
but I don't
proposal.
Know what part of the story we're in now.
Yeah,
it's true. I haven't given you an update in a while.
Oh, man.
But, Fred, anyway.
Fred, how's your love life?
Just the fact that Fred's still married is astounding to all of us.
She's a saint.
Me too.
She's a saint.
Let's see, webradio@patriots.com. Where's our food? JD writes in, just a few questions about minicamp. Mainly, what are the differences between minicamp and OTAs besides mandatory attendance? Longer practices, more contact, numbers on jerseys? Also, will there be media access for all 3 days? Yes, there will be. Main difference, there really aren't any differences other than maybe the jersey.
We're hoping
the jersey numbers are one, but beyond that,
the idea for these OTAs is to try to, you know, be exactly what it will be in training camp.
Well, that's what it's evolved.
Yeah, yeah.
These OTAs have grown and gotten close. I think they're used. I feel like about a decade ago, there was a little bit more of a difference between passing camp and the mini camp, and now it feels like they're all the same. It's one continuous.
Yeah, well, I think that there was a time when mini camp had pads. Everybody wore full pads.
Oh, is that
camp.
What I'm remembering?
I don't know that for positive sure. Like, I can't remember.
I don't know that for positive sure.
You know me. Like, I tend to forget things.
I just feel like in my mind there used to be a difference, and now it's just the same.
Yeah, it's just an
Except
extension.
Please have numbers.
There's a ton of installation that goes on at this time of year, and then so this
camp.
Way you can get to training camp and. It's execution. It's not installation.
It's a teaching camp, except when Bill yells, God damn it.
God damn it.
I can't say the name, but.
Undrafted linebacker.
Bill, you feel like you're evaluating me right now when you're yelling at me.
Bama writes in, towards the end of last show, you guys were mentioning all the Rutgers players coming through the pipeline. Someone said, I wish we had a pipeline in Alabama. Then someone else said, we do. Well, we have a pipeline, but nothing seems to be flowing through it.
We got a high tower.
And this was the year we could have picked up some really good multi-year starting, ready-to-play-now Bama players in the mid to late rounds of the draft.
Multi-year starting, ready-to-play.
Would have been a great value. Mark my words, Barrett Jones, Quentin Dial, and Jesse Williams will be starting for their NFL teams long since we have forgotten who Daron Harmon and the Rutgers crew are. Those players are value, not Razai Dowling in practically the first round. Tell Bill, get the Bama pipeline going. The team needs to add players who can tell the others what it's like to win championships. Just kidding. Roll Tide. Go Pats. F the Jets.
Just kind of kidding. I mean, if you really are going to focus on a place, wouldn't it be the greatest coach in the country for the most dominant team in the country in the most dominant league in the country that everybody says is the NFL of college football, right? I mean, we're kind of joking, but we're kind of not. It would seem to be the most logical place to take multiple players from. And yet,
Joe was driving in Wyoming. Yeah. He saw a sign that reminded him of Andy, and the sign says "Speed Hump."
They call them humps out there?
I guess so.
So quickly, he started humping the seat.
And just so everybody knows, Andy sort of did that.
Actually
started humping in his
chair.
You
were allowed to go as fast as you wanted out there. Why are you just looking at me?
Well, if there's a hump, you want to know about it, right? You don't want to be going as fast as you can.
No, but what? Humps are used to slow you down, and I thought they didn't slow you down out there.
Maybe it's a school area.
Oh, yeah, I guess not on like a main road.
Aye, aye, aye.
It was actually just a moose, you know, and they just label them speed humps.
I don't know if they have moose in Wyoming.
Sorry, I didn't know maybe my joke needed to be, you know, geographically accurate. Jesus.
You know, they don't have they don't have rainbow trout in Idaho. I fished there.
That doesn't make any sense at
all. They do. They absolutely have rainbow trout.
You have your penis shirt on?
it's always on his mind.
No, it's usually on Fred's left peck or right peck. He has a shirt with a penis
and in
on.
Your mind.
Right.
So you have actually fished out there.
I fished in northern and southern Idaho and Colorado. Yes.
So you are a legitimate fly fisherman.
Used to be, not anymore.
Do you even have the equipment?
What happened, Fred?
Up in the
You can't fly fish around here?
I've been up. I've been to the, not recently, but to the White River area in Vermont and New Hampshire. I've gone up northern Maine to the Connecticut Lakes.
And is it not, there's Connecticut Lakes in
Maine?
Yeah,
they're called Connecticut. It's like weird. Yeah.
Northern Maine?
And is it not as good? Is it not worth it? Is it?
Go figure.
It's not as good as out there. Yeah. Oh, God.
No, it's not Idaho.
He needs a minute, apparently.
I do. Like Dante said, it's better than sex.
He didn't actually say that, just so you know. That was removed from the transcript.
Jake says, it's been a long couple of weeks at work, and after hearing you talk about John Rook Show, I was thinking we have not heard the hot dogs and sausages clip in a while. What like was he thinking?
Hot dogs and sausages.
There you go. And we'll see. We'll hear a lot more of that in training camp starting in July.
Are they going to let him do it, or do they? It seems like they try to change that voice every year.
Maybe Bob Soucy will do it.
Could be.
Oh, Soucy, can you say?
Really dedicated to learning the team and
good
introducing himself to everybody, and
he should be.
Sort of.
Introduce himself to you?
No. No, I mean like players and stuff.
Because Andy was behind the velvet rope.
Hasn't introduced himself to me.
I meant more like players and telling him who he is. And I was thinking about that. He's the play-by-play man. So really, he doesn't need to know anything.
No.
The guy who should be here is Scott Zolak. Like, the color man is the guy who's supposed to be here.
Doesn't need to know the players.
The play-by-play man is supposed to be the nuts and bolts. Tell me what's going on.
How do you know that he's not going to do other things, like interviews?
Okay, then
shows.
He needs to do it. But
that
I'm just talking about for the broadcast.
Role on the broadcast.
The broadcast, Zolak is supposed to be the color of the broadcast.
But I also think that
by nature, he is supposed to be black and white bland. That's why it's called a color commentator.
I think the home guy. The home guy.
Home. The more you my home.
The more he knows about the team and can recognize who's out there and, you know, the better.
Yeah. I would agree with all of that. You don't need to talk to anybody to do any of that.
You don't need to. But
I'm not criticizing him for doing it.
I'm not either. I'm just thinking, I wonder if in his mind he's saying, how come Zolak doesn't come to these? Shouldn't he know these?
Well, that's a good point, too.
See, I think Scott just, he has the relationships already, right, and he just talks to people.
Matt Chatham was here the other day.
Yeah.
Embracing.
He came by and said hello to us.
That's nice.
Chris Price kicked his coffee over.
Did he?
By accident, but it was a real a-hole move.
Did he beat him up?
It was a real
did he push him to the ground or tackle him?
No. He was just,
did
I think.
Did Chris Price have clothes on when he did it?
I see what you did there. It actually broke out into a debate of politics with Matt Chatham.
Oh, boy. all right, webradio@patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
He tackled the streaker at the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow. I see.
You don't remember that?
Well, I didn't know what that had to do with
he
Chris
Price. He can
tell
Price. You the now score of, no, like, 1928, but
I was thinking Chris Price, not Matt Chatham. Like, Chris Price knocked over the coffee, and then all of a sudden the next thing was, like, did he have clothes on? I was thinking Chris Price.
Why are you thinking
Matt
of Chris
Chatham.
Price naked?
Because he's the one who knocked over the coffee.
It's weird.
Let's see. Michelle says about that coaching list on NFL.com, Belichick is number one for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, it's a different list. I don't know that I've looked at that list,
yeah,
but
I
I've
haven't
seen
that list.
You know what I heard yesterday talking about these lists? They were talking on EEI about Jerome McGinley and how good he is in the NHL. And Holly was arguing with Salk, and it was pretty funny. And Holly called up a list, and Salk goes, who's that from? Bleacher Report. And Salk went off on him. Bleacher Report. Who's that? Three guys with a Twitter handle?
It is. I mean,
it was like listening to Andy just totally dismiss it.
Yeah, but ESPN.com has, I mean, NFL.com has some horrific lists at times. Horrific.
So
I don't know who puts
NFL.com says that Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time.
Apparently, or the greatest to Michelle from Stockholm.
Or the greatest current coach
of all time.
I don't know. I don't know the list.
Because I don't see any way, shape, or form Bill could be even consideration for the greatest coach of all time. The single greatest coach of all time. Right now. Now, maybe when he's done and he wins three more.
I think he could be considered.
Sure.
Not
three
for,
wins,
not for
another two Super Bowl losses. Went to the playoffs and won games with two teams.
Yeah.
A lot of wins. And
a lot of losing without Tom Brady.
Yeah, but.
I mean, we're talking about the best of all time.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's in consideration
he's
for the best
there.
Of all time.
He's up there.
Now,
I don't think he's the best of all time, but I think he can be in the discussion.
Yeah.
I think he's a guy you can weed out once you start to maybe narrow it down. But I think if you said him, you're not being an idiot, Homer.
I didn't say you're being an idiot. I just don't think that he's the best of all time. I don't think he's in that.
Now, he is a very, very good drafter.
Very, very good. Does a very, 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 very good job of drafting.
Olivier's on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Olivier.
Go Bees.
One more game. The cup floweth.
So, Paul, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. Thank you,
I
sir.
I just realized that my wife and you share the same birthday.
Wow.
Okay. I'm sure I've had it a lot longer.
What are you, like 43?
A little bit higher.
We're the same age.
4 or 5.
What else have Paul and your wife shared? A night of passion.
always on his mind.
Yep.
No.
Right.
Yeah, no. If it was on his mind, Olivier, it would have been you and I. That would have been on Andy's mind.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, you know, to each his own.
Exactly.
That's right. Who are we to judge?
Yeah,
you.
Exactly.
You're the one who judges.
No, I don't. Go ahead, Olivier.
Thank you. I was calling because, you know, I was wondering, you know, out of all of the free agents that are left in this league right now, one besides Abraham that we know, according to Fred, is already signed, but which one is left that we think that we should actually target and get?
Paul, who's your other guy? The other
Israel?
Pass? Yeah.
Adonijay.
Adonijay would be the fallback, I think, for Abraham. Other than that, I mean, they could add a veteran receiver, I would think. If
yeah.
Right?
Probably better than what we have now, yeah.
Is there even... Well, there's always Deion Branch and Dante Stallworth and Jabbar Gaffney.
Yeah, I don't want any part of any of those guys.
Last year, they were all going to make the team until none of them
did. What about Randy Moss? Where are we at it? Let's
just
get him back, right?
No. That ship is sailed.
Just kidding. Yeah,
but I mean, they do have, I believe, two open roster spots right now. So there's room to add... A couple guys.
Oh, there'll be a lot of changes before.
Oh, a lot.
This is
significant.
For sure, John Abraham is going to take one, right?
Well, that's true. One of them is Abraham,
there will only be one roster spot. You know, significant changes.
But what would you be saying they need right now? A veteran presence at X, besides obviously the end that we're looking for.
Look, if they picked up another veteran wide receiver, I wouldn't complain.
Right, and I think that could be something they would look at. You never know in the secondary if this Dennard thing. Is an issue.
Right.
Maybe they look to add a corner, a defensive back there somewhere. But, I mean, at this point, it's pretty much the group that you're going to see the team culled together from. With, you know, maybe a random cut here or whatever. This is pretty much what you're working with.
It doesn't sound too appetizing.
Oh, come on.
This team will be fine.
I know, yeah. Fred. They'll be fine.
No. This team's pretty good, though. I mean, you got to put them, you know, in the top, you know, what, 3-4 teams in football.
Top 10, yeah.
with a chance to compete for, you know, as well as anybody.
I'm not quite as sold as you are. I have my concerns.
Who do you have other than Denver? I think Denver, to me, is a legitimate option in the AFC.
I think Denver is better than them.
Okay. Who else?
I think Houston's in the mix. You know,
yeah,
where we hold
I'll
what we saw from them personally very much against them.
But that counts a lot.
No, I know.
That
but we hold it against them.
Because I thought a lot more of Houston
Baltimore
than what they showed.
Baltimore is in the mix. Green Bay is in the mix.
Talk about getting to the Super Bowl.
A revitalized Saints could be in the mix.
San
Francisco is in the mix.
Oh, San Francisco.
Seattle, if Russell Wilson can play, is in the mix.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now all of a sudden, it's not so laughable that Andy said, I think they're a top 10 team.
Yeah, but you're putting them all ahead of the Patriots now?
No, they're all top 10 teams.
Yeah, well, I put the Patriots ahead of some of those teams because I think they're better.
Why?
Because I just saw
they were
them
better with Wes
them.
Welker. Have you seen them destroy him without Wes Welker and without Rob Gronkowski and without Aaron Hernandez?
Okay, listen, if they're missing Gronkowski, then this is different.
Isn't that a possibility?
Absolutely.
Isn't it a legitimate, not only possibility, but likelihood that they may have to face a good team without either Gronk or Hernandez?
Likelihood?
Yes. Based on the last 2 years or plus.
I'm not saying a playoff game is, in all likelihood, going to have to be won without those guys.
It just seems like it has to be.
I don't go in assuming an injury.
Last year, you were without one, and the other had his head up, as you know what.
No, you're right. Listen, the last year, Gronk wasn't there for the biggest game.
I would argue Hernandez wasn't there.
No, but he was out there, and he was healthy.
I mean, there might be four or five teams that are legitimately better right now than the Patriots, but only one of them's in the AFC, and that's the Broncos.
I would say the Broncos are the only team in the AFC I would definitively pick ahead of the Patriots. Yes, that is accurate. But I think there's a couple that are in the mix. I think Baltimore and Houston from last year are in the mix. And we discount just a growth period.
I don't discount.
Just a growth.
Yeah, I don't discount anybody.
Cincinnati. Maybe Andy Dalton takes a big step. They got a good defense. They got a good receiver. They got playmakers. Maybe they take that next step.
I agree with you.
But
we're
dealing with the knowns. You know,
which is my concern, because the known in New England has been removed to some degree. The known of the definitive passing attack and what it is built upon is a little bit shaky right now.
Wes Welker left, but Amendola could replace him.
Could. Just like Andy Dalton could make a big jump in his third season. Just like the Houston Texans could get more mature. Yeah. Just like the New Orleans Saints could get back to their winning ways.
I don't think that those comparisons are all equal. I think the Patriots.
Well, you're a homer.
Maybe, but the Patriots' unknowns to me are more known than most of the things that you just rattled off.
I know, but on paper, I think our offense has digressed.
Yes.
And that's scary.
Regressed, too.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Listen,
why is the
you know what?
Regressed?
Maybe I'm being
didn't he say offense?
Maybe I'm being guilty of wearing the blinders here, but I'll believe it when I see it, that the Patriots' offense is regressed. I'll believe it when I see it. As long as Gronkowski is out there more often than not.
Catch the ball.
What?
We need receivers with larger hands so they can catch the ball and the ball doesn't go through their hands when Brady throws at them in the OTAs.
Are Jenkins' hands small?
I've been listening to the podcast.
Are Jenkins' hands small? I don't know this to be true or not true, but
I don't know.
He has certainly had trouble catching the ball.
Yes.
But, all right, Olivier.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
And I understand why, you know, where Olivier is coming from, because this is what we've been talking about, is what we've seen on the field. And what we've seen on the field absolutely has not been very sharp offensively.
Correct.
I have fallen victim way too many times during my 14 years here of falling in love or, you know, writing off what I see when they're not wearing uniforms, when they're not wearing pads. Chad Jackson and Lawrence Maroney.
I'm saying has anything to do with camp.
Yeah,
I'm looking on paper.
I said I understand where Olivia is coming from.
Okay.
He's saying the receivers with the drop passes and stuff. He's right. This is what we've been talking about. That's
correct.
Why he's saying this. And they have not looked good. I mean, it hasn't looked good. Brady and Amendola appear to be pretty much in sync. They appear to be on their way to having a successful season together.
But why don't I see it a lot?
But I haven't seen much chemistry with really anybody else for Brady. I haven't seen Aaron Dobson. Haven't seen Michael Jenkins. Haven't seen Darnell Jones. Haven't seen Lavelle Hawkins. I haven't seen really a lot of consistent work with Brady and anybody else, with the exception of Amendola and really some of the tight ends.
Josh writes in on this point. He says, you guys are the best. I listen to every podcast you put up. Wes Welker leaving the Patriots for the Broncos is undeniably a hit on the offense. He was a great impact player, catching over 100 passes each year. Also, the injury to Gronk and hopefully Hernandez being okay makes this a terrible starting point for 2013. This leaves us with a brand new group of receivers that we know little about because they are either rookies, lack pass experience, injuries, inability to stay in the field, etc. I understand the devastation to the team with the loss of Welker and the need to make up for him not being here and the 100-plus catches he would have had. But up until Hernandez and Edelman got hurt and had to miss games, Bill had Welker benched for a majority of the games, and the offense was still going strong. On some level, couldn't you say that All the passes that eventually went to Welker in the 2012 season, totaling over 100, would have been distributed among Hernandez, Edelman, and Gronk. Lloyd could be in that category as well, but failed terribly, not living up to expectations. So outside of Welker, in the tight ends, last year we had Brandon Lloyd, Matthew Slater, Julian Edelman, Dante Stallworth, and Deion Branch, a group of receivers either past their prime or not living up to expectations. So excluding Welker in the tight ends, and without comparing Wes Welker to Danny Amendola, don't you think we are in a better position offensively?
No.
No. Because as far past the prime as a guy like Deion Branch was, Brady knew him. He doesn't know these guys.
He says, with all of this being...
So Deion Branch was a more valuable guy last year than right now Donald Jones is.
Yeah.
Now, maybe Donald Jones picks it all up and I think all different about it in October. But right now, Brady doesn't know those guys that I just named off a little while ago.
With all of this being said, excluding the two tight ends in Welker, and without doing a one-to-one comparison for Welker to Amendola, can't you say the Patriots are in a better position? When looking at it last year, that after the two tight ends and Welker, you basically had a group of has-beens and jags.
Why are we excluding the top three spots on the pass
catching? Even if you do that, this year they have never were. They had has-beens and jags last year. They have never wases this year. So how that's in a better spot, I have no idea what Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce, Lavelle Hawkins, and Donald Jones and Michael Jenkins are going to do. Those guys have no track record in the NFL.
I agree with what Andy is thinking, that you could classify this group the same way, but at least they are new jag faces rather than the same old ones that did nothing.
Well, there is a little hope in the group when you think about Dobson and Boyce.
Absolutely. Certainly. That's why I say we could think all different of this in October.
Certainly.
Because
yes.
Brady could have a connection with Aaron Dobson, and all of a sudden you look at it and say, this is just like Deion Branch in 2002. Second round pick. He comes in. He was a very productive guy. You have a whole different opinion. But you can't say now they're better off with the unknown that never has done anything as opposed to the past their primes.
Now, can you say that there's more upside?
Yes.
Possibly.
Yes. I think there's more upside, yes.
But can now somebody explain...
Does it make you better off?
Right.
Can somebody explain to me why we're eliminating the most important parts of the offense?
Well, that's the flawed part of the argument. But I'm willing to...
But I don't get it.
I'm making the leap of faith with the email.
That's like saying, if you eliminate Brady and Mallett, I have concerns about the quarterback position. Like, why would I eliminate the top two or three at any position? They're the heart of the position, right?
And I also would disagree. Last year, the offense didn't hum along without Wes Welker. The offense played one game and less than one quarter without Wes Welker. That's when Hernandez got hurt, right?
Right.
And first of all, I don't really think the offense hummed along in the Tennessee game. They ran the ball for the most part in the Tennessee game. That was a big game for Ridley coming out of the gates.
And I admit that I hold my bias.
They scored a good amount of points.
Against Aaron Hernandez. He regressed or digressed, as Olivia would say, in my mind last year. And he needs to prove to me that he's ready to move forward and be a 100-catch guy and be on the field all the time, because I thought that was where he was going last year, and he didn't go there, and I'm holding that against him and the offense in general.
Alex writes in, hey, guys, I'm wondering what your insight is on what Bill Belichick said at a convention months ago. Bill said, did we read this already?
Yes.
The no I in team?
Yeah.
But they're really an I in win. Selling the hell out of this new Superman movie, huh? Ram trucks and sandwiches and crackers and a lot of cross-promotion.
Kent says...
Clark?
Clark Kent?
Summers?
He says to Kevin, enjoy Paris, but Canada counts as a country, too.
Apparently it's Kent in Canada.
We speak French in Montreal.
We're a country, too, damn it. In no
poor
respect.
Kevin. I'm pretty sure he just meant the proximity.
Right.
You
drive across
the border.
Hasn't
been off the continent. Jerry in California says they are called speed bumps in California. The first time I saw a speed hump, I was in Florida, and I immediately thought it was an advertisement for a favorite bar of mine.
And then you realized it smelled.
Right.
It was in Florida.
No, I understood what you
meant. I would giggle if I saw the sign speed hump. There's no doubt.
There's no doubt in my mind you would giggle. You just giggled now.
And if I was alone with my wife, honey, the sign says we got
to get a quickie.
We got to
follow another kind.
When it says stop, I have to stop. When it says yield, I have to yield. It says speed hump, honey.
Michelle also says about the list that the one on NFL.com is the 32 current coaches.
Oh.
So that makes sense.
Now that,
no doubt, there
is indisputable.
Really? Tom Coughlin goes, yeah. Tom in the back would like to raise a point.
I have to remain consistent. I tell you that I don't just go on, you know, the scoreboard.
Right. I mean, who would just base it on head-to-head matchups in the biggest game with everything on the line?
Oh, shut up.
With 2 weeks to prepare.
Someone who wants to analyze it. That's who.
Michelle says,
and blame the quarterback.
When it comes to Elway, I have to agree with Andy. He's a total douche. Me and my friends were at the Saddle Ranch back. Saddle Ranch back in 06 or something. We used to gather on Sundays around 10 a.m. to have a late breakfast, lunch, and watch football all day. Around 1 p.m., Elway shows up, stupid drunk, and just sat down at our table and started hitting on a friend of mine. The situation was so uncomfortable, I had to excuse myself and leave the table. When I came back, he was still there, talking to our whole table about his years as a quarterback, but in a completely douchey way. He was so drunk, and the whole situation was just sort of sad. Boasting and going on. Yuck.
That's what he seems like.
See, I do think he's a bit of a douche from afar. I've never met him. But
a pretty successful douche.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, I mean, that doesn't mean I take anything. I still would take him over anybody.
At one time, I was going to buy a car from his car lot and have it shipped.
Just because?
Just because it was Elway.
Buy a car from his car lot.
You can never make fun of anybody for anything.
Just like when Bill Belichick goes into the car business, he's going to buy one from him.
No, I can still make fun of Northeastern.
Yeah, you can.
No, I don't care.
He's wearing a shirt today, by the way.
You can make fun of me for Northeastern.
What's today signify? You got the Northeastern polo on. Is there a special day today? Or
we didn't have any access today, so I didn't wear a PFW shirt like I have the last 2 days.
Where's the cookies?
Did get a chance, by the way, to be on hand when the Patriots were in Dorchester yesterday for a Play 60 event initiative at the Roger Clapp Innovation School.
Those kids in Clapp get it.
They get the clap. They get the clap. Let me tell you something about the clap, which the superintendent said at the assembly.
What is the clap? I know it's an STD, but what exactly is it?
I don't know.
It is one of those punchline things that I've like heard, but I really couldn't tell you. Is it still an STD?
Probably. I'm sure like it's one of those old things like the grip.
Right, the gout.
Yeah. Gout is. People still.
I know, but I think of it as old. The other one, what's the one you get on the boat? The when you're on a boat.
Scurvy.
The scurvy. I think of these as like, yeah, they don't really exist anymore.
Danny Amendola was among the Patriots there. Leon Washington, Chandler Jones, Stephen Ridley, Shane Vereen, Matthew Slater, and Nico Kudavides, or Kudavides, as he was announced.
Kudavides? Was Mayor Menino there?
No. It was announced by a member of the Patriots.
And Paul, you were tweeting away. Wow.
Well, I was there for PFW.
Were you the only one there?
For PFW?
No.
No, there was other media there.
Oh, okay.
Globe, Herald, ESPN.
Did you see Gronk? Did he have a cast?
Gronk was not there.
Fred said,
did you see the sling? Probably the biggest mistake that I've made in 14 years working for Fred, and he has to accentuate it.
Chris writes in, and he's from Missouri.
Did you finish? There's a commercial coming?
Yeah, the commercial was filmed yesterday. We didn't get to see that.
Is it the same song?
I have no idea.
Oh, they didn't have it playing or anything?
Nope.
Do you know Fred? The same
kids
song?
Were pumped and jacked, as they say, though. It was a very nice event. Beautiful day. School was very excited to have all the Patriots, including Mr. Kraft on his birthday yesterday. We should mention it was his birthday. They sang happy birthday to him. I thought they were singing to me at first, a day late, but I was overshadowed.
Then they said, who are you?
Chris is from Missouri. What do you think of Quentin Coppels saying Gronkowski's no problem to cover, saying he wouldn't let guys like him or Dustin Keller even off the line, and then takes a step back and says that he would, of course, have help? Just an interesting comment given Gronk's stats when healthy and where the Jets program sits at this point. Thanks and keep up the great work.
That's being a Jet.
I didn't read the whole thing, but Quentin Coppels isn't going to be covering Rob Gronkowski. He might be hitting him at the line like Rob Ninkovich does sometimes, but not going to be covering him. Thus the part about, of course, I'd have help.
Let's see. Scott writes about Campbell. I'm assuming he meant
Greg
Campbell from the Bruins. He says he reminded me of an old Patriot, Tony Eason. Okay, not so much. But you think Bill uses it in a meeting this year? That sounds like a Shackleton film type of motivational teaching moment. Don't lie around after you get hit.
And certainly since he was there and he's well aware of it, yeah, that wouldn't be a surprise to see something like that make it into some motivational footage.
Yeah, that play was otherwise known as a hockey game. Yeah,
I
it's
really
just unbelievable the punishment those guys
I really
put
wanted the drama,
through.
The dramatic music to swell up while he was out there just on one leg.
But did you
doing
see,
too, whatever he could.
When they showed the replay of when he got off and then he got to the bench and, like, three guys are, like, falling right over each other, like, patting him on the back as he goes up the runway. It's unbelievable. Just like that hockey culture. Meanwhile, your boy, the Say Hey Kid, has been out 5 days with a tweaked groin.
Well, you don't want it to get worse. You want to save yourself.
Yeah, no. He's got to save that .250 batting average.
Oh, it's rising every day, and you know it. By the end of the year,
I hope it does.
By the end of the year, he'll be over 300.
I hope you're right, and then we'll lose him.
That's true.
Jonas writes in from Durham. It's funny to hear you guys complain about the lack of numbers on the players' jerseys during these practices. I want you to remember this. The next time you make fun of fans who are keen to know new players' numbers. Like Junior said on Tuesday, there's a reason they put those huge numbers on the jerseys in the first place. Who's Junior on Tuesday? Was that me?
I don't get it. You did say that on Tuesday. Yeah. I don't get what he's saying.
Yeah, I don't care what number they are. I just care what person they are. When I watch them, when I can't tell who is who, that's all. I don't need to know the numbers, so, you know, the middle of February.
He makes a point, though. Fans need to know the numbers, too, so they can tell who's out
when
there.
When you're actually there.
But when you're there.
That's why Carol Hardy gives out rosters.
Or when
and by the way, I didn't need Akeem Shaver's roster number. I didn't need to know what jersey he was wearing. I'm trying to watch guys who are relevant to the football team, and generally we get roster numbers from guys who are irrelevant to the football team. What? Ryan Mattes or Mattes or whatever the hell the guy, I don't need to know his number.
Jersey number.
I believe
out.
It's RJ.
RJ. How do you know it's not Ryan?
Let's see.
Ryan Jr. Matty.
All right, food is finally here. It's 1:25. We'll be here until 2 o'clock, so we'll be right back.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance. With over 100 ASE-certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
Yager in front of the Penguin bench, wrapped up with Malkin. Yager, good second effort to keep it alive. Marshawn over the line, left side. Decent in front. Tip! Score! Patrice Bergeron in double overtime! And the Bruins land the series 3-0!
All right, back here in PFW in progress.
Bruins won?
That's Dave Gosher, right?
Mm-hmm. I fell
Bruins
asleep.
Bruins Radio Network? Making the call?
Well, 985 the Sports Hub, right?
Do you like his call?
Sure. Yeah.
You do?
You don't, apparently, based
on
the tone?
I just wondered. You know, we seem to judge our play-by-play guys around here.
I do think he has one of those, you know, really manufactured announcer boy voices at certain times.
Right.
Like when the climactic call. But I think he's pretty solid, yeah. I think hockey's a really hard sport to do on the radio.
I do, too. You have to be quick.
On TV, I don't think it's that hard. On the radio, it's ridiculous hard.
Passes across the spoked B. Chant, here go Bruins, comes up.
I'll tell you, just in watching, I think it's amazing how good they are in finding and telling you, like, you know when a guy takes a shot and it doesn't get through? And you can never really tell sometimes. You know, a guy takes a slap shot from the point, and you don't know if it was saved, if it went wide, or if it got deflected off it. The play-by-play guys are uncanny live of knowing. There was one last night that Rask got a piece of a rebound, and then it hit him, and then it hit the post. And Emmerich live said, you know, Rask gets a piece of it, might have hit the post. And they showed the replay. It's exactly what happened. I think that's amazing.
Do they have guys that whisper in their hit the post or anything
that? It would happen too fast.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think it's just them being good.
Okay. Ricky writes in at webradio@patriots.com. Hey, this is Ricky from Mobile. The Pats will go 12-4 if we need a 100-catch guy. Danny Amendola can do it. Before both Danny and West came to the Patriots, Danny was a better wide receiver. The Patriots always had good seasons without big-name players. West was a good player, but he was a jag before coming to the Patriots. Brady made West. He can make Amendola. And he consistently called West West. So,
Patriots never really had big seasons without big-name players.
No?
They've always had some stars.
Well, right? As it turns out, they did. Yeah, I mean, the guy back in the day when they were winning, we'd say...
Yeah, that Tom Brady guy turned out to be pretty good.
No, back in the day when they were winning...
Willie McGinnis was the fourth pick in the draft. That's a star.
Nobody was making the Pro Bowl, but now you look back on it... And
it's because you sucked.
These defensive guys were great, you know?
They always had some stars. Ty Law was a star. The day he was born, Ty Law was a star. Right? Am I wrong in that analysis? I mean, he was born a star. He was born the CEO of Ty Law, Inc. Willie McGinnis was a star the day he was
well,
born.
He was supposed to be.
He was a star at USC. No, I know, but he was still a star. Stars don't have to be great, but there's an aura about a star.
But I will
he's
say,
a star.
The Fred part of it to me is
like,
a
I don't
guy,
think Mike Vrabel's a star,
a guy
even
like
though he became an all-pro. To me, there's a difference between a star
a guy
and
like
a
Vrabel,
player.
A guy like Richard Seymour, those guys turned out to be much better players than we knew they were in 2001. We thought... Wow, they're just scrapping it all together with this, you know.
At least Seymour was the sixth pick in the draft. I mean,
right, but we didn't know he was going to be a perennial All-Pro.
People walked out of the room when he was picked.
That doesn't mean they're right.
I'm just saying, now we know they were great.
But don't you expect a guy who's taken
but
sixth overall to be great?
Plenty of guys that we knew were great at the time.
Right.
I mean, Ty Law was great at the time and any other time.
Lawyer Malloy was great.
Lawyer Malloy was a perennial Pro Bowler at the time. I mean, they had some good players. They just didn't have... We didn't think they had as many as they ultimately did. We didn't know that Seymour was going to be a perennial All-Pro. We didn't know that Vrabel was going to be a mainstay for the better part of the next decade. We thought he was just another one of those 20 guys they signed that year. Well, he was a lot more than that. Brewski really emerged as a much better player than he was earlier in his career.
Yep.
So, I mean, they ended up having a little bit more talent than we thought they did on that team.
So
to say they didn't
stars.
Have stars is sort of a stretch.
And Rodney Harrison, and guys developed into stars, as Vince Wilfork is a star who has now developed. And then the receivers, they've always had stars. They've not had a single season here since.
But on offense, other than Brady, they really didn't start having stars until 07. Fair to say?
Well Corey Dillon had 1,600 yards.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP.
He wasn't a star.
Deion Branch wasn't a star.
Seahawks paid him like a star,
whether you want to say he was a star or not.
Gibbons
wasn't a star. You know, Troy Brown wasn't a star. David Patton wasn't a star.
That is correct.
Well, then Wes Welker wasn't a star then if Troy Brown wasn't, because Troy Brown did what Wes Welker did.
1 year.
When we're talking about the years they won the Super Bowls.
No, but are you putting Troy Brown in the same category as Wes Welker?
I think Troy Brown was better than Wes Welker.
Wow.
The only thing that's the numbers
that's a hot sports take, Paul.
I don't think it's that hot.
I think a lot of people believe
that. I think it's
that.
A lukewarm sports take at best.
Yours is better, saying that RG3 will never be the same. He's done.
Now, that was a good sports take.
We said that during the break.
And now Fred's upset at you for saying that on
no,
the air.
That's fine. I'll probably...
He has said much dumber on the air. as have I, by the way. And I will always go back to something where I took Rohan Davey and somebody over Brady and somebody. Dumbest thing I ever said on the show.
Troy writes in, what did you
think? I forgot about that one. That was a good one.
See, I'm not afraid to bring up the dumb things I say.
I just know from a 50,000-foot view that Andy says a lot of dumb things.
See, that's not true. I say very few dumb things.
I don't have to make lists.
Maybe if you got a little closer than 50,000 feet, you'd know what you were talking about.
MIT Troy says, what did you think about the reveal of the Dallas Cowboys 2013 draft board? It was interesting to see they had Jamie Collins as a third-round value and Logan Ryan and Aaron Dobson in the fifth round. Do you think we overdrafted, or are the boys off their rocker? I would love to see the Patriots draft board. Can we get Eric to break in and take a picture next year? Would be nice to have him do something useful for a change.
Now, that would be news that was worthy of tweeting from him if he got a picture of the draft board. You know what I like, though? The Cowboys draft board's out there, okay? Did the sky fall? Did the world end?
Is their franchise never going to win a Super Bowl? Well, that may be, but that's a separate issue. Like,
all right, would you reveal your draft board?
Would I reveal it? Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a big deal. It's not, certainly after the draft, it's not the state secret that everybody, like, yeah, wow, the Cowboys draft board. Who cares? So they thought you drafted a guy two rounds too early, or you drafted a guy a round before they, and? Yeah. So maybe in 5 years, ooh, you can look back and say, I told you so, he was a sixth round, and? Who cares?
And
what comes of it?
Yeah, I mean, I get Andy's point, too, and you know, I don't think anybody would probably want their entire draft board out there public, but where a specific guy might be, you know, and you don't have to get so specific, but I was higher than we had him rated or whatever. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that provides any information. But in terms of the comparing to the Patriots,
how do we know they didn't, you know, change it before they published it?
We don't.
Because they're the Cowboys.
But I'm pretty sure those were live pitchers that were thrown out there. But, like, Jamie Collins, they had him as a third-round pick. He went late in the second round, right? 52? Was it something like that? He went late in the second round, you know, in the last 10, 12 picks of the second round. So that's about where the Patriots must have had him. I know that they had the Rutgers guys lower. I mean, Harmon, they didn't even have on the board, I think. That was the one that really stood out. They had Daron Harmon not even draft eligible. I mean, I think there's probably a lot of guys like that. I think the Patriots probably have a lot of guys that were picked by other teams.
I generally think there are differing opinions.
That's
why when people tell me, like, we know this guy is this, and you don't. You may have an opinion, or the three mocks you read had an opinion, but nobody knows. The teams don't know exactly, especially beyond the early picks, beyond the first half of the first round. No one knows because teams have different opinions.
It's so inexact. And even after the guy gets drafted, depending on the team he got in, the scheme he had,
right,
the coaches he had, it could be so different from one team to another. It's such an inexact science. You know, that's why Bill Polian said, you're lucky if you're 50%.
And he was good.
And right. He was very good, not just with the Colts, but with the Bills.
And,
you know, he was
Jerry
part
Jones
of
isn't very good.
Building those Bills teams that lost four Super Bowls.
Jesus. Sorry about that.
Sounded like the
why'd
Bruins
make so
scored
much noise?
Again. I don't know. I think you should probably keep doing it to see why it made so much noise, Paul.
The Panthers as well, by the way.
Yes.
That's right. Year one with the Panthers, or year two, didn't they make it to the all the way?
They went to the NFC Championship.
Right.
To the all the way.
In their conference.
That would be the end in the NFC part that would indicate it was their conference.
And by the way, you're the one who said all the way, not Paul.
And what do you have to say about all the way? I'm sure
just
you
laughing.
Have something to say.
Oh, no, I wasn't even thinking about that.
I just went all the way on a sub.
Oh, I went all the way with Christian's mother. Took her five hole, if you know what I'm saying with the hockey lingo.
Mark says, the offense will be the offense. Am I wrong to be concerned about defensive line lacking depth?
If I had a dime for every person who said the offense will be the offense.
I still don't
really?
Know. I still don't know what the starting lineup is for when they go to the 4-3. Jones, Vince, Kelly, and Nink. If anyone gets hurt, depth seems to be a big issue.
But that what's wrong with the lineup that you just said with a question mark? You still don't what's wrong with that?
Well, he's saying that.
No, I know he's questioning. He's wondering about depth, but he's saying, I still don't know what the starting lineup would be. Well, three of those guys were the starters last year.
And so and basically, when they go 4-3, will be like the first snap of the year.
Basically, you're saying we're replacing Brandon Dedrick and Kyle Love, who split time as the starter last year, with Tommy Kelly. I think that's very logical.
You brought in Armin Armstead.
You're hoping
versatile
that
guy who was going to be a first-round pick, according to Pete Carroll.
Now, they have some big guys. Now, again, no pads out there. But they have some really big guys that are undrafted rookie free agents. That's where Kyle Love came from three years ago, whatever it was.
Myron Pryor, Brandon Dedrick, and Kyle Love are being replaced by Dwayne Sherrington and, I don't know, some other guys.
And hopefully
Grissom, Corey Grissom.
Hopefully Armin Armstead is a little bit more than that, and he can provide you something.
I'm starting to fall hook, line, and sinker into the Armin Armstead's going to be a player.
But we're basing it on nothing.
Oh, no, I based it on when I spoke with him. He seemed like a really nice man, and he was very... You know, though, the
Let me rephrase that. We're basing it on less than nothing.
He convinced me. I bought it. I'm not going to lie and say it's based on. I bought it.
I got Pete Carroll telling me he's going to be a first-round pick. He got a second-round grade before his senior year.
Apparently, you're not the only one buying it, because on Patriots.com, they had the poll, who do you think will have the biggest impact, and Arm and Armstead won.
Well, that's because I persuasively wrote it. Sometimes people go with how you write it, and I wrote that very persuasively.
This is just the poll. It wasn't. This no, wasn't.
They
the,
read our make your case, and then they vote in the poll. Well, and is, I persuaded them the like a good home. Lawyer.
There are a lot of similarities with those two analyses as well, with Tommy Kelly and Armin Armstead. I thought that Andy and I were on the same page with
except
with
I
our
won.
Analysis.
Except mine was better, apparently.
I thought mine was better, but matter of fact, I'm sure mine was better.
Josh,
you were excited about him. Why aren't you excited now?
I am.
You got like giddy Arm and Hammer the first day we signed him or whatever. Now I think there's the more I delve into him, as long as his heart doesn't, you know, have an issue or something, you got to be intrigued. He's a USC talent who was good at USC, who can play inside and out, who went to Canada and was productive. There's a lot to like there. And he seems like a nice guy.
He's been in the program the whole offseason. It's good.
Yeah. Yep. I'm saying impact playmaker for him.
So when you factor him in, maybe the depth isn't quite as bad as
you've improved.
Yeah.
In my opinion,
maybe.
If the theory of Armin Armstead is good, competitive, I'm not saying great, but and Tommy Kelly, you've added a very proven, consistent veteran, you're better than Kyle Love and Brandon Dedrick. Am I wrong, Paul? Sorry, Paul had a cookie in his mouth.
Yeah, still does.
Not at all. I want to add.
And there's a couple biggins out there, too.
On the outside, I think you have more depth than you had last year, you know, potentially, again. You know, we don't know what some of these guys are going to do, but I think you have the possibility of some kind of rusher like Jamie Collins that gives you an added element. I'm sorry we're keeping you awake over there, by the way.
Bruins were up late.
You fell asleep in the middle of overtime, the first overtime.
That's still late for me.
Okay, well, everybody else stayed up for the whole game, and we're managing to make it through the whole show.
I should get a coffee or something.
Wow.
You
anyway.
Think there's more depth on the outside?
Than last year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Convince me.
I think Jamie Collins is going to be an impact contributor as a sub-rusher.
More impactful than, say,
Trevor
whatever
Scott.
They had. Yeah, those Jags.
And don't forget Jake Beckett's going to contribute
what's
this
the guy's
year.
Name?
The year two
Justin
jump
Francis.
From Jake right. Beckett. Well, Justin
I'll
Francis.
I'll throw him in the mix, too. Jake Beckett. You got to get more out of him this year than you got last year. Either that or he's not going to be on the team.
Do you?
You don't have to, but he has to.
He has to or he won't be here. Right. And he'll be looking for, although he'll be fine.
I base my
six-time captain or whatever the hell he
I
was.
Base at my
he'll run a car dealership down there and make like 600 grand a
run
year.
Run for mayor. I base my feeling on, I really like Collins. I liked Collins' tape in college. They drafted him. I saw what they see, I think, and I'm intrigued by him.
Like Chad Jackson.
Guilty as charged. Unlike you, I don't have to have a ridiculous thing that made me, you know.
No, I was wrong
Rohan
with Chad
Davey
Jackson,
thing.
Too.
Yeah, guilty as charged. I loved Chad Jackson.
The two or three times I've been wrong ever, I list them.
What about the guy with the Jets that you loved?
Golston?
Yeah.
He's three.
It's another one.
That's three.
Wasn't used properly.
I wasn't wrong on Mendenhall.
Oh, you were.
He's a very good NFL running back.
Yeah.
He was. You're right. I was a little wrong because I thought he was special, but he's a very good NFL running back.
Okay.
Bill Belichick would like to be that wrong on some of his picks.
Josh, I think he does a very, very good job with his picks. I don't know what you're talking about.
Josh writes in, again, to follow up on my previous email, the concept I was trying to say was the loss of Wes Welker is terrible, no argument there. But he's gone, and with that understood, excluding Welker, the remaining receiving group is better than the 2012 group aside from the loss of Welker. The upside seems so much higher with greater potential going into 2013 for depth purposes.
I was willing to play along with your premise, and I understand what you're saying. I just don't agree with it, as Roger Goodell might say. Only he'd say it in a lot more rude fashion than I just did.
And it
I
still
think Brandon
bothers
Lloyd
me.
Was better than Donald Jones.
But
even though I didn't think Brandon Lloyd was great.
Forget about that crap. It bothers me when you're focusing on the depth. That gets to that thing, if you have three competitive quarterbacks, you have none.
No, but like I
the
said,
Patriots
I'm willing
are going
to play
win
along.
And lose as an offense by the top three, essentially. That's going to be the core of the offense. And I don't agree that they're better. I think Hernandez had a terrible year, had surgery this offseason, and is at an important point in his career, in my opinion. I think Rob Gronkowski is damaged goods, who's coming off six surgeries in the last whatever number of months. That concerns me. So I'm not sure you're better.
Right. You could make an argument. See, I'm willing to play along with his email as Josh, right? I'm willing to play along with the email and forget about the top three. you are correct. The top three right now, in my opinion, on paper, are worse than the top three were last year.
Right.
Because Welker's not here, and Amendola, we don't know if he can adequately replace him. And the two tight ends are not as healthy as they were last year heading into the season. So you have question marks at those top three spots. I'm willing to accept Josh's premise and go to
I'm with Commissioner Goodell.
I think Lloyd and Branch and et al. And were better options.
Edelman?
I was going to say an Edelman, too. But I think last year, well, I wasn't, no, when I said et al., I was also going
to. Et al. Oh, you weren't doing the little et al. Thing?
No, I was doing that, not Edelman. Oh. And then after that, I was going to say an Edelman.
But it was weird if you said et al. And et al. Man.
Right. But based on what.
Et al. Men.
Based on these, once again, that's what he's thinking about. I don't see how you could be. Yes, there's an upside there with Dobson and Boyce as draft picks, but I don't see how you can say that that's better than last year. Blanket, we know that's better. Now, the upside is better, absolutely.
Do you have an upside on Jones and Hawkins? Possibility of an upside?
I think Jones might be able to be a decent player.
I think Hawkins has been relatively productive on the OTA field.
And conversely, I haven't really seen Jones do a whole lot of anything.
Yeah, but he might, and I didn't know it was him.
Yeah, that's true. That's just like when you keep telling me Hawkins is doing stuff, and I say, okay, I guess.
It's like two plays.
I'll tell you, another a guy who's made some catches is Kamar Aiken out there.
Well, he is Aiken to contribute.
Oh, boy. Okay.
What? Now, Fred, now we just gave you a couple of mid-depth wide receivers that we've been somewhat impressed with, and you meet us with raised eyebrows and a disgusted look. This is why Andy and Paul can never win.
I'm not disgusted. I think we've laid it out there. I think Josh has made his point.
You know, we're well down the depth chart. We're talking about guys that aren't household names.
At the end of the day, we agree to him on the potential, but to say that right now they're better than they were last year in the passing game, you can't
say. And maybe I'm being clouded honestly, because I like Deion Branch so much, but I just think that a guy like him, at least Brady knew what he was going to get out of him. He knew what he could rely on.
He knows he won't really be open.
And as much as I don't like Brandon Lloyd,
right,
he did catch 74 passes. And I'm not sure there's a guy capable of catching 74 passes on this roster.
I think there is. I think. Well,
you're sure there's a guy beyond Amendola as a wide receiver that can catch 74 passes? You're sure?
Prior to OTAs, I would have said Jenkins if they force-fed him the ball like they have
Lloyd.
But no
one has ever done it.
What?
Catch 74 passes on this
team. Oh, God, no.
No one has done it.
Of these guys, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if you take Jenkins out, do they even have combined?
Right.
74 catches?
Oh, did I ever answer my, remember we left with a question and then I blogged it, but I don't know if I ever answered it on the show. The answer to the question of who has the most receptions from Tom Brady, who's actually been participating in practice, was Stephen Ridley with 9.
Yeah, you know, NFL.com picked that up. You know, did you know that?
Yeah, you were quoted. Whew.
I don't know. I thought I was in trouble or something.
No, not at all.
No, in Greg Rosenthal.
Oh, no, nice. It wasn't Greg Rosenthal.
Oh, it wasn't?
No. Further down the chain, some guy I never heard of.
Crap sheet?
Check.
But I'm not really specifically calling him out.
It's hard to take a shot at a guy for not knowing his name. And
it wasn't Greg Rosenthal because I didn't recognize
him. Lower-level writers on NFL.com. Check.
And he was blogging, and he said, you know, according to Patriots.com's Andy Hart, blah, 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 and he wrote a blog thing about your blog thing.
And nice. He had a link to
nice.
The story.
And links.
That's huge.
Right?
You see, I've been doing the headline thing in my blogs lately.
Using the full name.
Tim Tebow and Jamarcus Russell, the New England Patriots.
Help us with the SEO. Search engine optimization.
Alt.geek.
Obsessive.
.nosex.
Melvin from Tennessee says, Fred, please say the offense will be the offense. I want to hear Andy get mad again.
The offense will be the offense. I'm not even playing a role.
No, I know. You believe it. Mike Rodak of ESPN Boston, I asked him a question the other day because I didn't have binoculars and he did, and it was something about the – I haven't really been watching the offense. The offense will be the offense. I'm watching mostly deep, and I'm thinking, what are you talking about?
No, see,
Bill Belichick used the phrase redo in terms of his wide receiver.
I think that's – and not to call out Rodak, but we know him well enough that we can make fun of him.
No, he's a good guy.
That's dumb.
Because he had a birthday yesterday.
Yeah.
Well, when Belichick says, you know, we're going to be redoing the wide receiver position, do you think he just means just in terms of personnel or how they use them? And do you think that, you know, we're not going to send the equivalent of Brandon Lloyd on 7 yard outs anymore. That's going to be Shane Vereen or Stephen Ridley.
No, I think it's more about the personnel.
No, it's personnel. Now, it might end up being what you're saying too, but I don't think he knows.
But that's
yet.
Also related to the personnel,
right?
Well, yeah, but
he what came first, the chicken or the egg?
He doesn't what know he's that got yet. And what he's going after in free agency or
no?
But I'll get
he means
no.
personnel, and now they're figuring out strengths and weaknesses. It's why Brady said
exactly.
in mid-August, I'll tell you who I'm comfortable with.
And then you look at Fred, just the differences in the options. If Michael Jenkins seems to be getting every opportunity right now to establish himself as the front runner on as an outside guy.
Hands down.
Right?
Now he should get his hands out because he has trouble carrying.
You're not going to use him the same way you'd use Aaron Dobson or Josh Boyce.
Or Lavelle Hawkins.
So in terms of the redo is personnel. Then you figure out what you're going to end up with personnel and how you're going to use
those
guys.
I was just thinking as a whole, the way they used the wide receivers last year. You know, again, not to stretch the field. It was more of that control passing.
That's because the guy you wanted to stretch the field couldn't stretch the field.
But this is what I'm saying. If Michael Jenkins ultimately replaces Brandon Lloyd as the X, they're not going to stretch the field with him either.
But it'll be okay.
Right.
Because you'll know what you're getting. The reason Lloyd is gone is because I don't think they got what they wanted.
Right.
You said they didn't stretch the field, but I think the plan for him was to be more of an impact playmaker than he was.
Now, in OTAs, and base OTAs, and take any conclusions with a grain of salt, whatever, they've certainly been trying to stretch the field a lot with that outside guy, whether it be Dobson. It's been Aiken mm-hmm. at times. The kid from Cincinnati, is it Tompkins? Kembrell?
Yes.
Tompkins, something like that. They've run a lot of deep routes down the sideline, down the left sideline. Predominantly, is that the other one? Is that the X? I don't know, the X, Y, and Z. I think.
No, that doesn't matter.
But he's been the guy outside on the left sideline.
They even went deep to Amendola that time.
Yeah, he caught a deep ball that was also down the left sideline.
And then I haven't seen him do much since. And Paulson, he was like,
he looked fine yesterday, twirling the hula hoop around. Although he was having a hard time maintaining the rotation. I said that I bet you Welker could do it.
Oh.
And he said,
"Not to him." I'll say it. I've never spoken to him until yesterday, but if I knew him, like I actually joked that if I knew him just a little bit, I would say it to him. But
and is that for like hip muscles to kind
no,
of?
This was at the playground thing.
Oh my god! I thought they were working out on the sideline.
We already talked about it.
Oh.
Can you do a hula hoop?
Sure.
I don't think I can.
I can't.
Ooh, four sports.
I was just gonna say, I got you in hula hoop.
I'm sure you were, because I'm sure that you really do think that's a sport.
Paul needs you. Slightly larger loop.
What other sports could we compete in?
Anything you want. Shot put?
Anything running, you'll beat me.
Obviously.
Yeah. Track and field, you'd probably beat me.
Yeah. Let's do the hammer toss. You know anybody who's got one of those? I've never done it, but it looks like fun.
Like four.
It really is just a big meathead.
Right.
No.
Yes.
I pick things up and put them down.
No, I throw them.
I almost ran a marathon.
So it doesn't mean you're not
meatheads
a meathead.
Meatheads don't run marathons.
A lot of meatheads.
No, they don't.
Yeah, they do.
Give me meatheads who've run marathons.
Steve DiAsi.
Touche.
Sorry, Steve.
Anything you want.
Well, you said no to golf.
Water sports.
You said no to golf.
Skiing, kneeboarding.
Well, you have a boat. You live on the South Coast.
And Fred just learned where that was.
Right.
Basketball, I would play.
I already beat you there.
Yeah, but we didn't really.
There's nothing to prove there.
And people seem to want a 2-on-2 game.
Wait, you won't do golf?
I mean.
We could do a 2-on-2.
With the short arms?
We could do a 2-on-2.
It's really hard.
When did you get Kevin McHale arms? That's what I want to know. When did you suddenly.
It's nothing to do with my arms. It's your arms. I'm not comparing mine to
yours. Fred and me versus you and Paul.
We'll get killed.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
Have you never played golf?
No, I played golf.
Oh, golf.
Why do you think I'm any good at golf? I don't even have clubs anymore.
Because I know when I go bad in golf, how bad I am.
Oh, Kevin should win the golf.
Listen, like I go,
stink.
Like keep getting balls out of the bag.
If Kevin plays, Kevin should win the PFW in Progress Open. He's the only one that plays semi-regularly.
Right.
I'll come in second.
No, but Freddie, you and I versus Paul and Andy in basketball.
I am up for that challenge.
I'll play. I'm not going to talk smack,
good?
But
I play three times.
I have to make sure I don't forget my water bottle.
Now, how ticky tacky we going to be on the fouls?
Don't hammer
you can't
people.
Foul. You call your own foul, so I'm going to call every time you touch me.
Meow.
Oh, I figured I'd have to guard him, and I would just hack a shack.
Well, that's...
Andy and I would match up.
I would be concerned about the size. Kevin's right. Significantly taller than Andy and I.
But, you know...
Andy's quicker, though.
I'll chop him down a few notches.
He's quicker.
A few elbows to the ribs.
Let's face it. We'd end up doubling you.
Yeah, because we got this
Fred
guy.
He's really dirty.
Fred would get a lot of open jump shots.
Yeah.
Fred,
you, and since he can't jump.
Fred, you would be what we call the prove-it-to-me player. You'd have to prove
right.
that you could make the outside
right.
shot.
Right.
You'd
and you
well,
can't.
Well, Andy and I are doubling.
I like this. This is a nice little off-season addition. We should, PFW Paralympics.
Andy's had me rain down on me on him. He knows the magic that I
You did hit shots when you beat me.
You know.
8 years ago in San Diego.
He was hitting shots from the outside when he
Fred, we should time? Do it.
I wouldn't
Paul,
call him.
I can
I
shoot.
Would say mid-range.
I can shoot.
Mid-range.
Now, why could you shoot? I mean, I'm sure you haven't shot the ball in 35 years. Why could you shoot?
No, he's got a basketball hoop at his house.
Oh, come on. How often do you shoot?
I don't. But
so it's been 35 years since you shot.
It takes me a little while to warm up.
Yeah, you would have thought that after a while you'd be able to swing a bat. But
well, if I had pitches I could hit, then I could have warmed up. But well, unfortunately, I had nothing
as
to
Rasheed
hit,
Wallace would
so
say,
I had nothing to warm up with.
As Rasheed Wallace would say, ball don't lie.
Yeah.
Look at the tape. Do you want me to start reading the tweets?
James Pettit, well, they love to pile on.
No, they have eyes. They opened them and they watched the
But they
the
like
video.
To pile on all of us. They right. don't just pile on you.
No, that's okay. They pile on you, too. James writes in, Andy,
the
Fred,
ones
and
I've
Paul
gotten.
In a high jump competition. I'd pay for that.
high jump competition.
Hey, we got some breaking news.
What do we got? Patriots signed linebacker A.J. Eads.
All right.
It's Eads, right? Not Eds.
It Gordon? Is Eads.
He was here. Was that last year?
Last year, I believe. Might have been 2 years ago.
And the practice squad. Oh, 2011. Yeah.
2 years ago.
Where was he last year?
Miami. Didn't he tear his ACL last year, or was that 2 years ago?
The entire 2012 season on injured reserve with a knee injury.
Must have been last year he tore his ACL.
All right, well, it's always good to end the show with breaking news.
That's and Zolioki.
That's going
to
do it.
Also, they're sending out tweets. Go to it. Zolioki is when?
It's not tonight.
Check it on Patriots.com.
Saturday, June 8th, 2013, from 7 to 10 p.m.
Can we All do right. another hour?
At nope. Royale yeah. Boston.
Next week. Mini camp mandatory.
We'll Spikes
see if
watch.
President Spikes comes. 3 days of media access. We'll publish the schedule for PFW in progress when we know it.
And
yeah.
we'll hear from Bill Belichick, who we haven't heard from in quite some time since the draft.
Perhaps Tom Brady.
Perhaps. I don't know if that's All true. Right. I know we'll hear from Bill Belichick.
We'll see you next Tuesday. Some things take a long, long,
long, long. That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.